participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 2007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Stay tuned for your shot at a brand new Mercedes-Benz C230 from AT&T Simply Wireless and only on the Don and Mike Show.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Stop, stop the rock. Stop, stop the rock. Stop, stop the rock. Stop, stop the rock. Can't stop the rock. You can't stop the rock. Stop, stop the rock. Stop, stop the rock. Stop, stop the rock. Can't stop the rock. You can't stop the rock.
Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
All right, now who's the guy who is very upset about our new affiliate in Austin, Texas? We're glad to be on in Austin.
Yeah, we are. Very much so.
Glad to be back on in Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas. The station is called The Juice. But Rob,
I know he's insistent.
Yeah. It's The Juice.
Yeah, that's right.
He wants it to be desperately.
It's
The Juice.
Yeah, I want to see it in writing, Don.
All right, just calm down. There he is.
And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Bigot Bus and all the ships at sea. Hey, man, the bed's made, but there ain't no sheets on it. Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Robbie.
After you.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello. Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Thursday, December 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And here's your numbers for instant access from anywhere in America, including Austin, Texas. Glad to be back on in Austin.
Yeah, we had a great following in Austin, Texas.
Here is your national number, 877-365-3636. Washington, D.C., love you. Love you long time. 202-432-1067. New York City, love you too. 877-692-1027. That's the phone number information. Here he is now, the weak-armed bowler from the Gunner Balls, who last night, actually, in the third game, came through.
What happened? I don't know.
Until he collapsed at the end. He was the leading bowler for a while.
Yeah, there are only two bowlers that really stood up at the end.
Your friend and mine, there he is, radio's Guy Burnley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Bud.
Hi.
We got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
We got your Fighting Gunner Balls recap.
Oh, boy.
We were hustled last night.
Yeah, we came up against some criminals.
We'll tell you about that in just a moment. We have plenty of guests on the show today. We've got our Christmas schedule of stuff coming up that we'll tell you about. We have the voting for the boobs for Benz.
Yeah, oh, I forgot about that.
Hey.
I need Lisa to bring me the internet results. Mike, our lead story today is, once again, we've beaten the odds.
Happy anniversary, baby.
That's right.
Got you on my mind.
Little River Pan.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Yeah.
Got you on my mind.
The only queer song in the world that has happy anniversary.
When we sing, and it was
happy anniversary, happy anniversary. It was 16 years ago.
Oh, turn this off.
It was 16 years ago today.
Yeah.
Wow, who'd have thunk? December 6, 1985.
Wow.
That we actually started the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, happy. Happy anniversary.
There's my
happy
favorite.
Anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
And even though, of course, it's ignored by everybody, even us, we have to be reminded every year of our anniversary.
Yeah, we used to make a big deal about it, and now, now we can't even get the date right.
But this is the date, and we will have a brief retrospective here someone sent in. You're really going to embarrass you.
Oh, God. We used to be... I mean, we weren't as jive as a lot of shows, but we were definitely Morning Zoo.
Well, you know, that's one of our bumpers. It says they were born zoo.
We were born zoo.
And we got a guy named Mark, who's been listening for all 16 years.
Mark.
And what he did was... Well, he has some of the stuff from back when we were...
When we had drums and duck quackers and whistles and we had Frank Murphy.
Wacky Morning Zoo stuff. And at some point, we're going to have a retrospective, a brief retrospective of the humble beginnings of this show.
Well, happy anniversary. It's been a hell of a ride.
Sure has.
A hell of a ride.
Sure has, best friend and best buddy and...
buddy.
And best acquaintance.
Hey, happy anniversary.
But you've known him the longest.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
The decay is set in. Don't forget, in addition to the drums and the duck calls, you also had speaking in unison.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah,
Did we?
Well, we had a lot of the, we're fat.
We're white.
We're Catholic.
And we're sick about it.
Right.
Wow.
I still like that.
That's good. I like that.
No, I like that. You know what? Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon have stolen that on their ESPN show. So,
yeah,
I mean,
I've seen those promos that we're fat,
yeah,
we're bald.
That stands up. People still say that to us. So, I mean, I like that one.
And Kornheiser has stolen our haircut.
So, anyway, 16 years.
Wow.
And also a brief note to this should be Charles Broyhill, who has been with me now for... almost 18 years.
Wow. Yeah, he, as a matter of fact, greeted me for our anniversary in the hallway when I was saying hi to Rob and Lisa, and coming out of his office, I heard, quiet!
And there he is.
Seriously, that was my anniversary greeting.
From the great Ape House.
Right.
Okay, I don't know. You know, everybody's on the phone about the bowling, and I guess maybe we should start there, and then we should move on to the internet polling, and we should vote for the winner of the Boobs for Ben's contest.
I just want to say that bowling is a little too much fun for me. It's getting to be way, way too much fun. I really wish the fun people would start staying home.
Well, if you want to talk about fun, once again... You know, I hate to embarrass her like this.
Yes.
But if you look in your dictionary and you look up banged up, you're going to see a picture of Lisa.
I really thought that I'd come in today leading the charge as far as people that had a little too much evening. But after bowling, that was it for me.
There is a reason that her nickname is Rummy. Her full name now is Rummington Steele.
Oh, very good.
Lisa last night had one hell of a night, and I'm here to tell you that we, in fact, did not back up our guarantee. We lost. We lost 2 out of 3 games to the hustlers known as Just People.
We had no chance. I mean, we played a lot of good teams. This team was way up there. These boys, I think they have cots in the bowling alley. I think they sleep there. Yeah. Between the legs strikes.
Now,
you can't beat that.
Listen, here's I knew we were suckered into this. They called us yesterday and said, hey, what's your average? I said, you know, we're no good. Our average is like team average, 520. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's about our team average.
Right.
So we thought, we got a chance of winning.
Sure.
We get there last night, and immediately, one of the guys, the guy who bowled the ball between his legs, and I don't mean like
the guy from Deliverance.
I don't mean the fag way of bowling between the legs.
No, I've never seen that. I guess people do. No, people don't do that.
He would take a standard 4-step approach, like a fast one.
That he would spread his legs, he'd throw the ball around his back and right between his legs velocity and with a hook.
It was amazing. And he said he can also bowl standard, but not as well.
Strike after strike after strike.
Horrifying.
These guys, I knew we were being set up.
That's a lie. Isn't it, Rob? That's a lie. That thing about he can bowl standard, but not as well. That's
of course.
That's the setup.
Of course.
No. He bowls great regular.
I know before we even started that one of them was saying to you something about, do you want to bet? Do you want to bet?
Oh.
How much do you want? Do you want to bet money on each pin?
Yeah, and they you know, fortunately, they were great bowlers, but they weren't bright enough to hustle us because I smell a hustle. I mean, you and I smell a hustle well before it even develops. And then they really... showed their hand by bowling almost one-third of their score in the second game halfway through, you know, to say, hey, we really suck. Like, and they were obviously, they had heard us talk about a third game where we bet money before. And they
did that one time when we donated the money to the Red Cross.
And then when I said, hey, you're hustling us, it's so obvious, then they immediately came up with their score. It was hysterical.
Listen,
it really was.
It's fine. It's fine. They beat us fair and square. Mm-hmm. But listen, these punks, I swear to God, they tried to hustle us.
Yes, they did.
These guys would come up, and one guy, after he rolled his third strike in a row, and I mean, this is not lucky. This is the guy had one of these approaches where the ball goes all the way to the right and looks like it's going to be a gutter ball.
Incredible.
And at the last minute, it swings back in and it knocks them all down.
Right? I mean, really, a hook that really gets about three quarters down the lane before it breaks.
It's obvious that the guy is a good bowler.
Right.
And after the third one in a row, he turns around to me and he says, hey, man, I don't know how this has happened.
Right.
I've never bowled like this in my life.
Yes, they were nice guys, but they were definitely hustling.
Yeah, they were nice. Yeah. They thought that we were the mark, and at one point, I just I looked at Mike, and I said...
Yeah, you did. Early on, you said that.
Have you seen the movie The Sting?
Yeah, this is The Sting all the way.
And these schmucks thought that they were going to set us up.
But you know what? I will never... I mean, I was completely captivated by that guy that was doing that.
It was
that
really
trick shot. I mean, he not only did he do it, but he did it with the spin.
Yeah, it was really scary that he could do that consistently better than us. They were a dangerous cocktail of very, very skilled bowlers with just a limited understanding of how to pull an operation, because if they were going to try and fool us, why would they get up and throw consecutive strikes in their warm-up ball?
The only other trick shot I could imagine that would be as good as that would be if somebody took, say, two bowling balls and then crossed them halfway down the lane.
Oh, that's crazy.
Trying to go for a split.
Well, but who could do that?
It would help if I hit the pin.
You tried it, Mike.
Yeah, I tried. At least they weren't gutter balls. I was happy about that.
At that point, were you seeing four pins?
At that point, I was, you know, I was encouraged to do that, and I did so willingly.
Mike's appearance last night was sponsored by Amstel Light. We had a great time. A lot of very nice people showed up.
Very nice.
We had a wonderful time. I guess we should get to that, and then we'll get to the internet bowling here. Let's talk to Tom, who was the lead hustler from Just People.
Tom's a great guy.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's going on? Sean's here, too.
Oh, Sean's there. Now, who's that? Is that the guy from Deliverance who does the ball between his legs?
I was the other one that did it between my legs.
Oh, yeah, you did it. There were two guys. There were two.
They had it.
Great. Two guys that
I
did it between
the Deliverance
them.
Guy, though.
Now, the Deliverance guy did it a little bit better than you, right?
Well, yeah, he's the one that showed me how to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, now, come on, listen, just be honest. You guys, you were trying to hustle us last
not
night.
Not in the least. If we were trying to hustle you, why would we have had such a first good game?
You know, that is a point, but I think you were trying in the second game to maybe, like, lure us in, weren't you?
No, not at all. That was that 200-point lead that Tom the Moron decided to give you guys.
Well, listen, these guys, they come on and they say, we're no good, we don't bowl. As a matter of fact, the guy who bowls this unorthodox style between his legs and had, like, at one point...
The Deliverance guy was the chief hustler in charge. He wanted to bet... Guys, you will admit, he wanted to bet me...
He bet everything.
From the moment we walked into the lanes, he wanted to bet.
He was trying to bet against me.
He's got the balls. He comes up to me and he says, this is the first time I've been bowling in 4 years.
Oh, he was so full of crap.
And, you know, constantly coming up going, you want to bet that you can make this spare?
Right.
How about, and he says to me at one point, you want to go a dollar a pin? I said, no, I don't want to go a dollar a pin. He goes, how about $10 a pin? I said, no. He says, how about $1,000 a pin? I said, no, we are being hustled by these guys.
That's middle buster.
You know, now, I don't know how much you guys bowl together as a team, but I will tell you, I think you guys were probably the most talented bowlers that we've bowled against.
Thank you very much.
You're a ragtag group with no real cohesiveness, but I mean, I think really if you put your minds to it, you guys could knock a few people off.
Now, I want to tell you real quick, you got to understand, we have never bowled. When we tried to practice, we didn't ever get together as a five team.
I don't doubt that.
We weren't a team before.
Yeah, I don't doubt that you've never been together as a team, but you all bowl.
Not anything active.
Liar! No,
you all
liars!
We're just naturally talented.
You guys live in the bowling alley.
You are like
so
the
obvious.
Harlem Globetrotters out there.
Listen, the thing is when you started this, when you decided to challenge the listeners, I said, Tom, we have got to get everybody together, and just so they can laugh at Buster's bowling. That was the only reason.
Yeah, we wanted you to see Buster's bowl.
Is Buster the deliverance guy?
The deliverance guy, yeah.
now he bowls all the time, right?
No, not at all. He used to bowl. He used to bowl years
Listen,
ago.
Listen, anybody who was there last night will tell you.
Right.
These guys, and we're giving them their props, okay? Yeah. They are great, great bowlers. But do not believe this, that they don't bowl.
Buzz was going crazy last night, too. I thought he was going to hustle us. Buzz was on.
Yeah, Buzz, minutes at the end. Yeah. You get Buzz halfway through that second game, and it all kicks in.
Yeah. The mighty V.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, listen, Tom, it was great meeting you.
Yeah.
You didn't get a dime of our money, you son of a bitch.
But you did beat us. The Just People team did beat the Gutter Balls last night.
Guys, we had an incredible time. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, you guys are real nice guys.
Yeah.
But the next time you do a hustle, you know, be slicker. I urge you, you know, rent the movie The Sting, rent the movie Rounders.
Right.
Find out how to really make a hustle happen.
All our money right there.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right, hey, Mike, I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, hey, yeah, okay, good. Come on out Saturday, guys. Thanks.
Take care, guys.
All right, bye-bye. See you later. Yeah, these punks. We knew right away. I mean, we've been in there 5 minutes, and I said to Mike, what do you think? And Mike says, oh, we're being hustled.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was so obvious. It was fun.
It was fun, though.
You know, really, I love watching great bowlers. I mean, it is fun to watch guys that know how to do that. And, you know, that hook. And, it's just so much fun to watch that. I really enjoy it.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Hi. Mike?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Clarissa.
Hi, Clarissa.
We were at the bowling alley last night, me and my husband.
Yeah?
And we had a great time. You guys are so funny. We love your show.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And I came up and talked to each one of you. I don't know if you remember me. I had long brown hair.
Are you the girl who said if we make you laugh that your husband would give you oral?
Yes.
How could we forget that? You got the same line.
Yeah. Everybody. She walks up to me. Her husband's sitting over by one of the other bowling lanes, and she says, listen, I know this sounds weird, but if you just pretend that you're laughing at whatever I say, my husband is going to give me fantastic oral tonight.
She said that to me, and I don't know if you noticed, but I went, oh!
So did it work out?
Yes, thanks. It was great.
Good for you. Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Come on, share.
I'm your husband.
No, share, boys.
No, Rob.
Share,
Don, he was the gentleman with the bad breath. Come on. Would you knock
Did
it
you
off?
See the sign language the husband was giving?
Yeah.
Did he give you that?
Yeah. I don't know
why, you know.
Hello,
people are difficult to figure out.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don, you looked pissed off from the time that you got to that bowling alley into the time that you left last
night. Oh, don't be fooled, sir.
No, listen, you know what that is? That's called being competitive.
Right.
I'm not pissed. I think a lot of people will tell you I had a great time, but I don't like being hustled. And those guys, they were hustling us. If we lose, and we said today we lost fair and square, but come on. Those guys, you can't tell me those guys were the Harlem Globetrotters out there.
No, I mean, you and I, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter. We are competitive. We're competitive against the other team. We're competitive against the other people on our team. We are competitive. That's what makes it fun. And I must say, game number three, two individuals rose to the occasion there.
Right here.
I mean, it was clutch and clutch.
Mm-hmm. Bone and goose.
As it has been before. And, we were very, very close to winning that last game.
We lost the last game by 3 pins.
Mm-hmm.
Three pins.
Well, I was going to say, it's good you look competitive because you certainly didn't bowl competitive.
Oh, were you there last night?
Yeah, you signed my bag.
Well, now why are you busting balls if you're like a fan of the show?
It makes for good radio.
Makes for good radio. Yeah. All right.
I never would
have signed your bag if I'd known that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Your cheesy little dog-eared bag.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Rose.
Hi, Rose.
How are you?
Hi, we're great, thanks.
I was at the bowling last night with my son, Chad.
Oh my God. All right, now listen, okay. Would you balance this out? Would you say I was pissed last night?
Oh, I didn't think you were pissed.
Okay, listen, this woman, she brought her son. This kid, who could not have been a more cherubic, freckle-faced, little guy.
Very nice, Chad.
Now, how old is Chad?
He's actually 12 and a half.
All right, Chad is making me laugh. Every time I get done bowling, I come back, and this little kid walks up and says, just people. and then one time some guy is yelling at us something, you know, you suck or something. He comes to me and goes, hey, that guy's a D.A.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I remember looking over at Mom here and I said, well, you turned the radio down at the appropriate times, right? And she said, no.
No.
Yeah, not at all.
Of course not.
Well,
of course not.
Poor Chad.
There you go.
Poor Chad.
No, Chad's got the life. Chad's 12 and a half. He gets to listen to the whole show every day.
True. Chad had been sick most of the week, right?
Yes, all week.
But no problem going out to bowling till midnight last night, right?
That's right.
No problem. That's right. Is he in school today?
Yes, we pack up the kids on Sunday and take them out drinking and go for Hooters wings.
Oh, goddamn. Mother of the year.
Here she is. Now, where was Daddy last night?
Daddy's in Ohio somewhere.
Oh, you mean like permanently?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. Oh, all right. Well, you're doing the best you can.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Rose,
you're making him your best friend. That's probably the right thing. I think that's a good idea for a single parent.
It was nice meeting you, and your kid is really sweet.
Thanks. I love to hear that.
All right. Thank you, Rose.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Now.
Bye-bye.
No.
There she is.
But, you know, it's stiff. Don't you think the rules are different when you're a single parent? You got to bend the rules a little bit.
Absolutely. Don, hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, man, I think I could improve your bowling game a little bit.
Okay.
I can get you to throw a curve.
What?
I can get you to throw a curve.
Okay, well, are you setting us up for a joke or what? Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Where are you calling from?
Carteret.
When we come up, I think our next bowling match is the first of the year. I think we're bowling against the firefighters in New Bedford.
Right, I think it's Bedford.
Come out and teach us how to throw the curve.
I'd love to go to Carteret and learn how to throw a curve because that's where my family's from. And I'm about to go over to Mike's side because I was watching the curve last night. And I've been anti-curve, but the pin action improved.
I threw my first curveball strike last night, and it was great. It was fun.
More margin for error with a curve.
Yeah, because then I got obsessed with throwing the curve, and that's when it went all to hell.
All right, listen, Don, come see us. Let's go to Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, Don and Mike show. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, but Don and Mike, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I'm a very new listener to the show and everything, but I was just wondering, now you must know how your wives feel, because, you know, you forget their anniversary, so now you forget yours as well.
Yeah, but it's not the same, you see.
Yeah. We
think it's fine to like make note of it, but when was it? I think it was 10 years ago. We made a big deal about it.
Yeah, I mean, people got pissed at us because we had a giant party for our first anniversary.
The only thing I used to love about it, and I miss that. The thing I miss on an anniversary show is getting the calls. That was my favorite part when we get the call. But even after we would get calls from famous people who would call in and say happy anniversary. But even that
got
after
tired.
Like the sixth year, it was so completely burned out.
Let's go to. Lee, thank you, though, for the nice call, Jimmy. Hey, Lee, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Radio God.
Hi there.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I just wanted to let you know I have a problem.
Okay, who doesn't?
Yeah, right. I was listening to Z100 the other morning.
Yeah?
And I heard them say a certain radio talk show is giving away 29 keys to a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Not like anyone can do that. We're going to give 29 keys away to a $500 automobile.
Well, that's wacky. Good for Z100. Way to go, Z100.
That's good.
There you go. That's called trench warfare radio.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, everybody. It's the Z100 Morning Zoo. Any radio show can give away 29 keys for a Mercedes. We're going to give away 29 keys for a $500 car.
All right, no.
Because we're wacky.
I don't get it.
Well, don't you get it that it's... That what they're doing is like the opposite of what we're doing.
Oh, all right.
Hey, what we got is a real POS car.
Oh, like a junker.
Yeah, right, and we're going to give away 29 keys for that car because we're the crazy Z100 Morning Zoo.
Hey, terrific idea.
You know how you make that a great giveaway is take the glove box and fill it with candy.
Candy. You know, the thing is, we're making fun of them for doing that for the Z100 Morning Zoo.
Right.
Wait till you hear this tape of me and Mike from 16 years ago.
Oh, no.
We sound like we could be on Z100 today.
No.
It's the worst.
All I know, Don and Mike, is they wish they had your rating.
Yeah, well, no, actually...
In New York?
It's the opposite, my friend, but we're working on it. Thank you. We appreciate it. Let's go to Rich. Hello, Rich.
Richard,
Don and Mike show. Richard, don't hide from your feelings.
Yeah, I used to be a professional bowler myself, and it takes time to learn how to throw a curve, or what I call a crank. You can't just do it immediately. It takes time.
The crank.
You got to, I mean, if there's an arm strength issue that enters into it, right?
It's more with the fingertips when you go to release it.
All right.
It's where the real trick is. It's where you just simply lift up real hard on the on the holes by your on your top fingertips when you go to release.
Oh. Well, listen, we're not quite ready to talk about release while we're bowling.
Yet. Oh man, fingertip release.
Hello, Dean. Hi.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, Dean. Hi, Dino. Dean.
I was there last night. I had on the green Adidas jacket. The tape. Had a great time, man. Everybody was very approachable, had a great conversation with Buzz.
Right.
But I would definitely say, Don, you did look a little heated when you were there last night.
No, that's focus and determination that you saw.
Yeah, I mean, but you guys are definitely
why would I have a look of being pissed when when you and your girlfriend virtually camped out at our feet all night long and then had the balls to follow us into the room where we're changing our clothes?
My bad.
Right? I mean, why would I look pissed at you when all night long you're up my ass, and then we're changing our clothes in a private room and the door opens up and this guy who just goes, hey man, I just want to say hi. Come on, get out of here, you.
Oh, yo.
You nut.
Yo.
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 What, Rob?
Oh, I'm
sorry.
You know who found you approachable, though?
Who?
The print journalist.
Oh.
Oh, we didn't even mention that.
I think we should say hi to the nice lady. I don't recall her name.
Listen, there was a lady from a local newspaper.
That goes to print. Do you guys know when that goes to print? Are you aware of when that goes to print?
Mm-mm.
Just not that I want to spoil anything here.
Yeah.
But it goes to print, I believe, is it the middle of January?
Oh, well, there's no way that the stuff's going to last. We got to tell.
Okay. I was just saying,
we got to tell.
If you really wanted to accomplish what you set out to accomplish.
There was a lady.
You'd have to be patient.
I can't be patient. Okay. I can't be. It's such.
She's listening right now. You know that.
No, she's not.
She's not? Okay.
Her husband might be.
It was a wonderful scam, though.
There's this lady. She comes out from a local newspaper, and she's writing a story about how bowling is making a comeback. And she's interviewing us before the bowling thing, and we're telling her that, you know, we like bowling and stuff. What? It's January. Lisa says, "Watch it." Why, Lisa? Do you think we should keep the scam going?
Yeah, I think it depends, because I mean, the thing that would really make it, well, see, now I don't even want to say that. What would make that situation better would be if you were to read something down the road. That would be funny.
There were a few inaccuracies that she was told last night.
Well, what's Lisa saying?
I don't know. Lisa, hey, come here, Rummy.
And I think the reporter knows that there were inaccuracies, but as she left, her last words to me were, she looked at her notes, she said, I don't know how much of this is true and how much of it isn't. So it'll be interesting to see what she writes.
All right. Come on. Come here, Rummy. Oh, here she is now. Look at her all beat up today. All banged up.
What? I feel great. I look good, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter now if we're in New York or if we're back at home in D.C.,
boy, oh boy,
this girl cannot stop herself.
Yeah. Thank you.
The anus eyes today, doesn't she?
I want to thank you personally for that. I really thought that I would be bringing up the rear today. I really did.
Glad I could please you, Michael.
Listen to her, for God's sakes.
Oh,
so, listen, I think that we might as well talk about it, especially if Buzz says that she was onto it.
Or semi-onto it. She just doesn't know which parts. But I was right about the part about January, right? It publishes in mid-January or something like that.
Yeah.
So this girl, this lady, not a girl, she's a lady. She starts,
what the hell? It'll never see print.
She starts interviewing us, and
here we go.
At one point, Rob and I say, you know what we should do is lie to her.
And just
see
stuff.
Who can get the biggest lion. So it starts like this. It starts where... You know, I've got the patch that I stole from...
It starts in the back room where we have this little waiting room before we go out to balls. We're all, it's just us. There are no people around. Just the gutter balls back there. And they want to take a picture. And then the interviewing process begins.
I got a patch that I stole from a bowling alley at one time when we were bowling at Bowl America. It says 200 game.
Uh-huh. And so, she said, I see you have a 200 game patch. And that's when it began.
And I said... Yeah, that was the greatest moment of my life. And Rob said, oh, yeah, he bowled a 232. It was an outstanding game.
And the three of us are doing this because I'm sitting, and I chime in with, it was incredible. I mean, he was really on fire that night. So it's like, bing, bang, boom. You know, nothing has to be said. Nothing has to be prearranged. This is, we all go into that, you know, as we're smirking the whole time.
Now,
I'll tell you the lies that I told. One of the lies that I told her was that, and part is true.
Yeah.
That I did, in playing a flag football game, I did break my left finger.
The break hurt around the world, as we all
approve. About 10 years ago, we were playing a flag football game. Right. I broke my finger, and it's slightly disfigured, as you can
see. Right.
I said to her, it's been a tremendous handicap for me because I am left-handed. But as you can see, my finger is all bent up.
Right.
So I had to learn how to bowl right-handed. And she says to me, so when you bowled the 232,
right,
that left-handed or right-handed? I said, that was right-handed.
Sure.
I'm naturally left-handed. And she said, that is an amazing story.
And then she wrote it down.
So she writes it down. Then the next lie is that Rob Spiewak started bowling at the age of 2.
I started bowling at the insistence of my pro bowling grandfather, 5th in the nation, 1958. Started bowling at the age of 2 and bowled a long time. But, you know, we really sort of got out of the habit until we were encouraged to start again as Buzz's physical therapist. That would be helpful.
That's right.
Because now, and all of this is not one after the other. We were talking to this lady for 2 hours.
It's a marvelous web of lies.
Absolutely.
Buzz was in an automobile accident.
Serious accident.
And his left shoulder.
And he was at fault.
He was at fault.
And his left shoulder had to be totally reconstructed.
It was crushed.
Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Was the captain of the American University bowling team.
Oh, and that's the one, you know, she came up to me, and just to, you know, gauge whether these things had stuck or not, she came up to me at the end. She said, really what I'm trying to do is find out, you know, why bowling's getting more popular. I'm doing a story on bowling in general and its popularity, and you being captain of the American University bowling team. You know, it was hysterical, but that's not the best one. The best lie came later.
No, there's two other great ones. One involves Lisa. When Rob says to me, you know what I just told her? And this is that, well, Lisa's on like her 10th Corona.
Right.
She says, Lisa's a recovering alcoholic.
8 months sober, thank you.
Rob says she's 8 months sober.
Oh,
eight
my
months
God.
Sober.
I normally wouldn't have gone that direction, but she says, why does Don call Lisa Ruby? I said, no, he's calling her Rummy. And he said, why? And I said, well, then you must not know. Lisa's a recovering alcoholic, 8 months sober, and we're all very proud of her.
She's having like her 10th Corona.
So we call her Rummy.
She's having like her 10th Corona.
Oh, my God.
But the best is.
Here's the best.
Jessica, who works here at the station.
Oh, God.
Coincidentally, you know, there was all kinds of confusion yesterday because one of the girls who entered the Boobs for Bens contest used the fake name, used the fake name Jennifer.
Jessica.
I'm sorry, Jessica. Jessica Beadle, who works here.
Right.
So when Jessica, who works on the office staff, came out last night, lots of people thought that she was the girl who entered the Boobs for Ben's contest.
No, she works here.
But that has nothing to do with what I told the writer.
No.
So we were sitting around the table. It was me and Lisa's sister and Lisa's sister's boyfriend and DN. Nick was there.
Oh, no.
And hey, sorry, honey. That means
darling.
Dynamic. Oh, dynamic Nick was there.
And, dashing.
Dashing Nick. And Jessica's sitting next to me, and the writer comes over, and she looks at Jessica, and she says, you have a very familiar face. And I said, don't you recognize it? This is Heather Graham. She then writes down Heather Graham. She doesn't know. I say, she had a small part in the Austin Powers movie.
Jessica is very attractive, but she is in no way does she resemble Heather Graham.
So
they are different-looking women.
Yes, they are. Now, she's writing this down. Heather Graham, a small part in Austin Powers. She says to Jessica, how long have you been acting? Mm-hmm. Jessica says, 7 or 8 years, but I got out of it and I got into the radio business. Then I said to the reporter, I said, do you ever watch soap operas? And she said, yeah. And I said, Jessica was on the show One Life to Live.
Uh-huh. This is the best.
And the writer says, I remember you from the show. I've seen you on television.
Oh, my God.
And I said, yes, the character she played was a very evil woman named Bobby Hollingsworth. And Bobby, you know, got nothing but love for Bobby.
Of course.
Bobby is the business manager here at JFK.
Right.
She said, how do you spell that? And I said, it's B-O-B-B-I.
Uh-huh. Right.
Hollingsworth. And then she started interviewing Jessica. How long were you on the soap opera? Did you play a good person or a bad person?
Then I see the reporter talking to Buzz, and I walk up and I say, you know, just for the extra tip in, I said, did Buzz tell you we have a soap star in our midst?
Yeah.
And it was hysterical. It really was.
I don't know, you know, like Buzz says, maybe she was on to us, but if she was on, she sure was playing dumb. She was hustling us better than those guys that were bowling us hustled us, because she sure did play it straight with all the crap we told her last night.
Incredible.
Be a good article.
Yeah, let's see if it ever happens, huh? Oh, let me see who's on the phone here. We got more bowling calls last night?
No.
I think we do. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yo, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
What up, man?
Hey, hi.
Yeah, I was the ball buster. I was busting your balls all night, man.
Are you the guy with the Nike shirt?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, okay.
That's why you're pissed off, brother.
Yeah, this guy was working me last night.
I didn't catch this guy. Where was this guy hiding?
This guy was sitting to the left of the Just People.
Oh, really?
And every time I get up there, he would scream at the top of his lungs, throw it like a man!
Well, you throw it like a girl, man.
Throw it like a man. Hold on. But listen, you did have to come up to me after the match, after the clutch.
Yeah.
After the clutch performance. Didn't you, huh?
Well, yeah, I had to give you your props, man. You did one good frame.
That was, but that was when he had to do it too. And right. That was the most pressure of the evening when it came down to that.
Right. The match was on the line. I threw a strike, followed it up with a spare.
That's right.
The last two balls of the match that put us in the lead. Mm-hmm. We ended up losing by 3 pins. What can I say?
Absolutely.
The other guy made a spare.
You told me, you said you're going to bring me to Chinatown. And when you were saying that, I thought you were flicking me off.
No, well, you're doing. I went over. I gave him the eye. Thing like De Niro. I said the eyes. I'll be watching you. I said I'm going to bring you down. I'm going to bring you down to Chinatown.
It's from a popular movie called Meet the Parents.
Right.
Have you ever thought about law school?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I think you make a hell of a DA.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike, yeah. Buzz, how you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Hi, my name is Phil. I'm calling from Northern Virginia. Hey, I got a quick story for you guys. I wasn't at the bowling, unfortunately, but last night, or a couple nights ago, pardon me, I was looking through some old tapes of mine, trying to find something to record over, and I found one of your old shows. I mean, really old. I mean, check this out. Two words, David Haynes, Burnt Toast and Coffee Time.
Oh, yeah, that goes back a long time.
Very old.
That was WAVA, and I remember I listened to it, and I'm sitting there, and you know, I actually kind of got teared up with nostalgia.
Well, wait till you hear the crap we're going to play today.
He clouded up.
All right.
I did.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Listen, we got to do a break. We'll give you the internet poll results, but as always, we do like to give you a very quick, although we've kind of summarized it, the Gutter Balls recap.
Yes, it was another evening of Gutter Ball bowling as the Gutter Balls took on a team that I'm quite fond of. A team known simply as Just People.
Just People.
Just People. Another motley crew of men in their 20s and perhaps early 30s. Unbeknownst to the Gutter Balls, however, Just People was not a team interested in bowling. It was a team interested in the big hustle. Because when the Gutter Balls arrived at the Annandale bowling lanes, the Just People team had a plan in mind. Bowl silly bad in the second game and lure the Gutter Balls into a large wager, taking money from those unknowing Gutter Ball bowlers.
They are the dumb DJs.
But the Gutter Balls were smarter than that. They would not be lured into a hustle because they were aware of the fact that they were having one of the weakest bowling nights of their lives.
We suck.
That's right. Every individual struggling, getting worse frame by frame, game by game. Buzz Burbank trying desperately to overcome the arm weakness that has made him the team's lowest average bowler. Rummy, consumed by Corona beer, totally inaccurate all night long. Goose, trying desperately to ignore the taunts of the crowd, but being unsuccessful. Rob Spiewak, known as Head, throwing those blistering fastballs, but coming up short. And, of course, Bone, wallowing away into alcohol desperation, getting worse and worse with each game. Finally coming out with a whimper instead of a bark. Yes, the Gutter Balls went down in defeat once again.
They had won their previous game, and they perhaps were a little cocky.
Yeah.
But with the Just People team of carny hustlers throwing the balls between their legs, grinning and smirking, thinking they could lure the gutter balls into a large wager, it was really no contest. 200 pins were given. 150 pins were given. But in the end, the weak, tragic team of the gutter balls were unable to mount a suitable offense.
We suck.
Perhaps the next time things will be different. But as of last night, the Vicodin, the Corona, the cigars, the cigarettes, the taunts of the crowd did the gutter balls in as they went down to an overwhelming defeat. A defeat that would have been much worse had the Just People team not given them 350 pins. Yes, perhaps they'll come on strong, but the curve is not looking up. It's looking down as the gutter balls continue to see their skills deteriorate.
I think the new shirts will help us.
The new shirts are on the way. That's right. They won't have to wear those light blue pieces of toilet paper that may seem to, that seem to wrinkle just standing still. We'll see you for the next round of gutter ball bowling. And as for the team of Just People,
Just People,
Just People, congratulations have to be given. Way to go, carny hustlers. And that's it.
That's your,
there we go.
That's your gutter ball update. Yeah, we got beat.
We did.
We got beat, but we had a great time. And, we did meet an awful lot of nice people last night.
Oh, it's getting more fun. You know, it really is getting more fun because people are really having a good time.
Including, my favorite guy, the guy who comes out every time that we bowl in D.C., the postal guy.
Yeah. Yes. The going postal guy.
Right. No, I mean, he works for the post office in some regard. He comes in, he wears a bulletproof vest. This is the guy who was hassling me, I don't know, three or four matches ago, and I brought him out.
He's an angry man.
And we had the bet if he could bowl a strike or not, and he couldn't, and, you know, we ended up not exchanging the money. It was just a handshake thing. So the guy's my bud now. The guy, but he is pissed, man. He's always pissed.
Always angry. I mean, you can't get him in any conversation where he's not going to be mad.
It's a gambler.
And he says to me yesterday, just out of the blue, he says, "You know who I hate on your show?" I say, "Who?"
Charlie Stossel. Charlie Stossel never reviews a black movie. Charlie Stossel never give a black man a positive review. I hate Charlie Stossel.
So, you know, I said to him, I said, "How would you like to come in tomorrow and review movies with Charlie Stossel?"
Oh, Charlie will be intimidated then.
So that guy,
very good.
The angry postman is coming in tomorrow to review movies with Charlie.
That'll be fantastic.
He's one of the regular guys that shows up at all of our bowling matches.
We love it.
We got a break now and get a call 1-800-877-365-3636. 202-432-1067, 877-692-1027. We'll also announce the winner of Boobs for Ben's coming right up. Call 100 now.
Here's the Don and Mike Show.
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
Ladies, come suck on their two remaining toes. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, let me give you an update here, a guest update. Trish Stratus, WWF-er. No surprise in this day and age that she caught up in an airport somewhere.
Ah!
She will be with us on tomorrow's episode.
Very exciting.
Good. Hey, Trish Stratus, one of the hotties of the WWF, won't be with us today, as we had said, but she's stuck somewhere in some airport somewhere.
Well, that happens.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Yes, yes, you are. What's your name?
Matt.
Hey, Matt, where are you from?
Buffalo, Virginia.
Matt, oh, here you go. You won the WWF Vengeance Prize Pack, courtesy of Comcast, Cox Cable, WWF Vengeance in demand in your home, Sunday night at 8, call Comcast or Cox Cable, and thank you for listening, my friend.
Thank you, brothers.
Thank you. Hold on. And, Johnny, sorry about that. That was that's a little inside message for me. To somebody else. Before we get to the breast thing, I do want to say hi to a good friend of mine and yours, and a guy who, as a matter of fact, used to work with us at WAVA, Big Don O'Brien.
Oh, what a prince of a guy!
Who I thought had fallen off the map of the radio world. Big Don, when I was a PD at this old Top 40 station, Mike and I worked at, I hired him. He did the afternoon show and had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
has some issues with the bottle.
Yeah.
And he's come on the show before on Christmas episodes to tell us the... Everybody remembers the story about Buddy the Parrot?
Buddy the Parakeet.
Yes, Buddy the Parakeet who was frozen with his head off or something in Big Don's freezer.
I think the might have died and then he froze it or some. It's a fascinating Christmas story. I know it involves an ex-wife and just lots of joy. And yes. It's perfect for the season.
It was a mixture of carelessness, forgetfulness, and preservation.
Right. Anyway, the good news is he's pulled himself together and he's... I called him last night on the way to the bowling. He's working at WQSR up in Baltimore.
Good man.
The oldie station. And since they switched their dial position, I'm able to pick the station up now, this Baltimore station with a killer signal. And no S. I mean, as far as just being a great disc jockey.
Oh, he's one of the greatest. He really is.
He's in his element. And I called him last night. He got to the bowling alley early and listened to him, called him up. And I just said, you know, hey, like, hey, you drunk? He goes, hey, you pothead. And, you know, well, that's our relationship.
Sure, you know, he is one of, not only a great disc jockey, one of the most naturally funny people I've ever known in my life. He is just he kind of, I mean, you always hear the cliche, somebody lights up a room. He's one of the guys that really makes a room happen.
Want to give him a shout out here that he's sounding great. And we get done talking, we exchange the new numbers and the email stuff, and the next thing you know is I hear him get on, and it's right away it's the Grassroots.
He plays the Grassroots without you even asking, right?
I don't even ask. He's like WQSR, and I mean, he's jacked up out of his mind. I hear, this is for my friend Donnie G, who knows Rob Grill and the Grassroots. So I'm in the car, I got it cranked up, and then he comes on and he goes, are you ready for this? It's a Big Don O'Brien WQSR twin spin.
And they probably don't even have a twin spin formatted on that station.
He played like three Grassroots records in a row. It was great. So I just want to say hi to Big Don.
Hope he's doing well.
No, yeah. He is doing great. Toby's getting married again. Good luck with that one. I do mean that. Yeah, good luck with
best
that
wishes.
One. Because the other ones haven't worked out too good.
Sure.
On a less happy note, let me say happy holidays. Where's that Santa Claus, the tree sound effect?
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I want to say happy holidays to everyone who works here at radio station WJFK. Where the announcement has been made about the Christmas party. The Christmas party is next Thursday night.
Hey!
And it is a party for employees only.
Uh-huh.
No spouses, no husbands, no wives, no girlfriends.
Well, I regret to inform whoever you regret to inform that I will not be in attendance.
Yeah, I don't know how you say happy holidays to your staff, especially in times like America's going through now, than mm-hmm. to say, we are having a Christmas party. We're going to tell you about it with only a week in advance, which is okay. Incidentally, don't bring your wives or your husbands. And now, this is just a rumor I heard. Mm-hmm. Just a rumor that I hope is not true, but I heard the two words that will kill any party. Cash bar.
Ouch.
You're kidding.
No, that's what I heard.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what?
That's what I heard.
You know what? Hey, you know, honest to God, I don't want to get mad, but I'm going to get mad. You know I get mad sometimes. Let me tell you something right now.
Mike, your therapist, remember.
I don't go until tomorrow. But you know what? What kills me is not even that. Not even the no spouses, not even the cash bar. They have dicked around with this thing, and you let your employees know 2 weeks minimum in advance if you're going to have some kind of holiday party. And
they've not even made the official announcement yet.
How sad.
I got the inside words.
You know, there are companies out there. There are companies out there. There are radio stations out there. There are probably people out there that recognize that no S. The people around here have, since September 11th, have been busting their ass.
You know,
and we need it more than, and you know, thanks a lot, all the a-holes that run this operation from top to bottom.
There's a couple of easy ways around this.
Jeez,
first off,
what a company.
You could get someone like Ken, who has a mansion, or Alan, who has a mansion in Gaithersburg. I refuse to call it North Potomac, it's Gaithersburg. They could have a party at their home. For the staff.
Write off
or
all the expenses, which you and I have both done.
Or if you really just want to cheap it out, You just have it here at the radio station.
Sure.
You bring in, like, the omelet guy, and you bring in the margarita machine.
Right.
And you let everybody just eat and get bombed and stuff, and you make it open. You say, you bring your wives, and then bring your girlfriends, and bring your boyfriends.
But what they choose to do is they take somebody who has a wonderful work ethic, somebody like Tammy, and, you know, and just say, Tammy, do this. You know, work magic again. Work the wonders, which, you know what? A person can only go to that well so many times, and Tammy has done that year after year, done an amazing job year after year.
Amen.
And this year, I think they, you know, it's always been done with smoke and mirrors. This
sure.
year, they threw out the smoke, they threw out the mirrors.
The economy,
Tammy, yeah.
The economy sucks, so Tammy can't go, like, to a hotel downtown and mm-hmm. say, hey, we'd like to trade out a night in a ballroom with food for mentions, because
I don't think Tammy got any help at all from anybody this year.
No, and you know what? I think it's about time that Tammy's allowed to enjoy a Christmas party. You know, when she
yep.
puts those things together, she can't get blitzed or anything, because she has to make sure everything is taken care of. That's just a big, long work day.
I don't think she's going to have to worry this year.
No.
I don't think
yeah.
many people are going to go this year.
No,
kidding.
But the thing that kills me about this is really that where some companies, and I mean some, because there are many that have not done that. There were people who have been laid off. And
just
things like that. Some people have really recognized that people are probably under a little bit more stress this time of year and dealing with a lot more on their plate. This, around here, I think the philosophy is let's put extra pressure, more pressure on people than they've ever had before, and let's take away some of the perks that they've had before. It's
even more than
mind-boggling.
If there is or is not a cash bar, the thing that just absolutely kills me is that they're so freaking cheap that you're invited to the party, but you can't bring your wife, or you can't bring your husband, or you can't bring your boyfriend or girlfriend.
You know, really, for me, one of the only pleasant things about going to the Christmas party to see the spouses
yes.
and the girlfriends and the fiancés, and you get to see the people that that are around the people that you work with every day. It's very strange.
I mean, if I just want to say,
we're not the only people that aren't having a holiday party. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of companies that are dealing with that, and it's very unfortunate. This is something where you need to do it this year more than any
other.
But
there's a lot of, but like I said, there's a lot of ways around it. These guys have houses; they could certainly have had an informal get together, or you could, like I say, you just get a popcorn machine, you get
right.
the omelet man,
mm-hmm.
you get the margarita man. And you just say to everybody, hey, you know what, at 5 o'clock on Thursday, bring your wives down, bring your husbands down, and we're going to get trashed, or we're going to, you know, put music on, and we're going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, that's what they've chosen, so happy holidays if you work here at WJFK.
Well, that is a shame, but, we have a good time all year round.
So, anyway, yeah, Mike, it's a party working here every day.
Absolutely.
There's no need for a...
Honestly, there's so many nice people that work here, so many people that love to have fun together, and it just sucks.
Right, so anyway, happy holidays to everybody from WJFK, and you'll all be getting the same Christmas bonus that you received last year, which is a card that says congratulations, you've not been fired.
Yes, work harder.
So happy holidays.
Work harder to ensure this doesn't happen next year.
Now that we've moved past that, hold on, Ed, Don and Mike show. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Don. Hi, Mike. How are you this afternoon?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, you all were talking about your Christmas party and your spouses and your girlfriends and everything else aren't allowed. You know, they're not invited.
Yeah.
The company that I work for is so cheap that the people that work out in the field, you know, selling the company are not allowed the Christmas party. It's only for the people that work in the office.
You know, that sucks, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
Too.
You know, you get companies that make a big deal about it, and you get companies that don't. And I think, when there are a lot of people working under the same roof, you're out in the field, you gotta do something for them.
Well, frankly, it's good for morale to get everybody together.
It's fantastic.
Let everybody
right.
just get S-face together for
yeah.
one night.
Especially when we're the ones making the money for the company.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, we're definitely not alone in the Christmas party thing.
I don't think I'm alone when I say this. Frankly, it's... quite a few hot wives who occasionally come to this party.
Yeah,
who I always manage to sneak a dance in with, and I know that, last year at the Christmas party, Wendell Hall spent a good amount of time licking my wife's ankles
yes.
and trying to look up her dress at the Christmas party.
Yeah, you can't replace that kind of camaraderie.
No. And come on, and who can forget when Rob and I went up to the after party in Bretta's hotel room and put the chocolates in her bed, so when she awoke out of her drunken stupor the next morning, she assumed that she had crapped the bed. I mean, that's, you can't get that without a Christmas party.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's a shame.
And Tim McWilliams sitting Indian style wearing a turban.
Yes, yeah, wonderful moments.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. Oops, he's gone. All right, let's go to James. Hello, James, Don and Mike Show.
Hey. How you doing, fellas?
Hey, we're doing great, James.
All right, I'm that's the guy who dropped the phone down the elevator shaft. Just to maybe make you feel better, about 5 years ago, the union went on strike. And when we came back from strike, our company took away the company picnic, they took away Christmas bonuses, and they charge us $25 if we want to go to the Christmas party.
Oh, you know, that's even worse.
That is
even worse. But don't listen. I am sad that you mentioned that on the air, because now you've given them the idea here.
Yeah, right.
Well, you've given them the idea.
Yeah, I mean, even $25 ain't much, but you know what? They don't give bonuses. They used to throw a great picnic for the kids. And, you know, they take it personal. I mean, they were the highest grossing company in the world last year. Validated, and they just take it too personal.
You know, and I know a guy.
I pay you to work it, not jerk it.
I know a guy that's in that business, that elevator business. I mean, that is, that guy prints money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. Yeah, I mean,
you have no idea.
Yeah, the money to be made in the elevator business is, I mean, really, everybody needs elevators. It's incredible. A report out today says more people are out of work now than have been recently, and that productivity is up. And you know what that means? That means the few people who still have jobs are working harder than ever to make up the difference.
Hello, well, there's lots of ups and downs in the elevator business. okay, I got you. Hey, Joe, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Since I'm working a media one with you guys, I'm working a newspaper, I figure I could share this with you.
Okay.
Here's our Christmas party. They wheel around a tray of sloppy Joes, and we have to take one off, go back to our desk, work, and that's it. We have maybe some root beer, and that's it. Maybe a pickle once in a while.
Come on, what newspaper do you work at?
Well, I can't really say, but it's a very good one and a decent one, but
where
a little stale.
Where are you calling from, New York?
Yeah.
Is it one of the big ones in New York?
Yeah.
Is it The Post?
It's a daily newspaper. Let's
say okay. All right, very good.
We understand.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Let's go to Bert. Hello, Bert.
Sloppy Joe's.
Bert, hello.
I thought we had it worse.
Don and Mike Show. Hey, Bert.
I just wanted to say that the company that I used to work for used to have Christmas party committees. And I used to remind the uppers, and get in trouble, of course, that what they're doing is setting the tone for the rest of the year, and that they might as well just scrap the whole thing rather than cheap out this way. You know, rather than doing the cash bar thing, they might as well just, like, right in your face, for God's sake.
Now, listen, get out of here, you. Let's go to Bill.
He makes a good point, though.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Our Christmas party consists of a 6-foot wedge and a couple of sides, so everybody gets a piece of wedge. Okay, you have to eat it during your lunch hour.
What's a 6-foot wedge?
A 6-foot wedge, like an Italian combo.
Oh, like a big hokey thing.
I've never heard a sandwich referred to as a wedge before. Oh.
All right, well, so everybody gets a piece of a sandwich.
Yeah, and then that's only during your lunch hour. And then our bonus, we don't get Christmas bonuses, we get frozen turkeys.
Well, you're doing better than us.
I would accept, over a cash bar, I would accept a frozen turkey.
And listen, the cash bar thing, that is a rumor. I don't know that that's true, but I know for a fact that there's no spouses allowed and they're doing it on the cheap. Although it sounds to me like if you work at the New York Daily News, you got it worse than us, man, because they're bringing around a tray of sloppy Joes and a pickle for you.
Hey, all the root beer you can drink.
Yeah, and the root beer. Jesus Christ.
Sloppy Joes and root beer. And how do you like to be in the company restroom after that?
At least we know there's a worse place to work. The New York Daily News. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I just wanted to know if you remember the incident last year where the last working day before the Christmas break, your sales staff left 15 minutes early to go to the party next door.
Yeah.
And the sales manager fired one of them over it.
Oh, that's right. But he quit. Actually, he got such crap over it.
He quit.
That he quit. He didn't get fired.
Yeah, the deal last year was that It was, I think, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 days before Christmas. And the people in the building that we share the space with, Advantage Title, they were having a party upstairs. And at 4:45 on a Friday, the salespeople went upstairs because they had booze upstairs. And Steve Goldstein,
right,
who at the time was the sales manager, he went upstairs and he started screaming at people and telling them there's still 15 minutes left in the workday.
Meanwhile, the guy upstairs, you know, Bob and Tom, those guys that run Main Street Title upstairs, they run, have you ever seen them lose an employee?
No.
I mean, they have employee loyalty because they take care of their employee morale.
So anyway, Steve Goldstein, the Grinch, goes upstairs 4:45 on a Friday, okay? The Friday before Christmas. He goes up and tells these people to get back downstairs, to go back to their desks, that they could be writing business. Somebody, I don't know, I don't remember the guy's name, had the balls to say, like, F you.
Brad Griffith.
Yeah, Brad. They had words, and Brad quit.
Right.
And he was out of here.
Yeah.
You gotta love that JFK Christmas spirit.
You do.
That's incredible.
You gotta love it.
Really, really funny. And it's just, and really working in a building where they have that company upstairs.
Right.
Which is really kind of
oil
a company that really enjoys their employees, takes care of them, as opposed to here where it's just like, where really, we all are meat. It's amazing.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, we should make a batch of WJFK holiday punch. Start with 2 quarts of blood squeezed from a stone.
You know, I mean, listen, if Ken just gave up the lease payment on one of his matching Porsches for a month, for just a month.
Sure, that'd throw a mean party that
he
way.
He could afford to have a great party. One of his matching his and hers Porsches.
Yeah, very good.
Hello, Fran, Don and Mike show.
Could even have the party in his 6-car garage.
Hello, Fran. Hi, Fran.
Hey, Lyle, how you been?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Just as an aside, and maybe not really to defend the company, but... maybe it's a liability reason that they're not having having a cash bar.
No, listen, the cash bar is totally a rumor that I heard, and it's not liability because they've had parties in the past where booze has been...
Do you work in the personnel department?
No, actually, I work for an insurance company.
Insurance company, no wonder.
No, listen, absolutely. And the cash bar, I want to reiterate that, I mean, I'm going to check during the break to find out if that rumor was true or not.
Hey, but your line is good. That's another good excuse. You ought to share that. Due to liability issues, the company will not have an open bar this year.
Hello, let's hang up on Fran.
Happy holidays.
Mike, Don and Mike show. Hello, Mike.
You know, she said,
Mike.
She said insurance company. I guarantee you she worked for an HMO.
H-O-M-O. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Okay.
Boston, New York.
Hi, thanks.
I got my boss is so cheap. Every year he has the party at the same restaurant, and it's a block from his house. So he gets to walk home while everyone else has to stagger home.
Yeah, but I mean, is it free?
It was up until this year. This year he decided that... is a one drink maximum because every year the bar bill is higher than the food bill.
Oh, does that suck? A one drink maximum.
Oh my God.
That's it.
At the Christmas party.
Come by and have a drink.
You know what they used to do? Thank you very much. And every year he lays somebody off before Christmas. And every year. We're a small company and every year he's cut somebody.
Oh,
so, you know, like they start the party, they announce it. But, like, one of us knows we're not going to make it.
That sucks, man.
It's probably going to be me if he hears this.
it's a sacrifice for the baby Jesus.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
The annual firing.
At my wife's Christmas party, they used to give everyone that came 2 tickets. And you could cash your tickets in for drinks.
Oh, God.
Well, you know what? At a carnival?
Yeah, like carnival to keep this coupon ticket. Of course, it was good because I would always, you know, swipe them if I could, and I'd get Carrie's tickets. But that way they had a ceiling on the drinks, 2 drinks per person.
Oh, my God.
You could cash in your tickets.
Wow.
Hello. Oops. Oh, wow. What's going on here? Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you, roll up your window or whatever you're doing there.
Okay, I got a good Christmas story for you.
All right, who is this?
It's Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, I used to work for a company that invited us all to Hooters one time.
Yeah?
And when the party was over, they made us pay our own bill.
And didn't tell you you were going to have to do that?
No, sir. I just with the bill.
Oh, wow.
Stuck with a bill. Well, you know, everybody's got it bad.
Yeah.
But just once again, happy holidays from WJFK to all the people who work here so hard.
Absolutely.
And thank you. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Alan, on behalf of the whole staff. And enjoy the turnout at the party this year. I think you're really going to be able to keep the costs down, being as no one's going.
Crickets.
Yeah, well, and you know what? Maybe that was... That was the mindset.
Yeah, sure. Never know. I mean, it's part of the deal here. You know, the communication kept to an all-time minimum.
Okay, we got to do the. We've not announced the winner yet for Boobs for Benz. Oh, we got to do commercials again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, come on. Like, you're not making enough money off these goddamn commercials that we got to play every 15 minutes.
Hey, these parties don't pay for themselves, Don.
You mean? How about you just take one commercial break,
right?
Just take the money that you make from one commercial break on this show,
right,
and pay for the party with that money.
No, yeah. Won't happen. No.
Sure.
No spouses. What kind of a party is that?
It's not so bad. I'm kidding, of course.
We will be.
It's a ratings party.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Out of my way, jerkass!
Call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's a national number. That's for Washington, New York, Portland, Seattle, Las Vegas, Madison, Wisconsin, Austin, Texas, all over Iowa. That's a national number. Here's the local number from D.C., 202-432-1067. And from New York, 877-692-1027.
If they weren't on the radio, they'd be holding ye up.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, listen, who says that whining and bitching and complaining doesn't work in today's modern society?
This has happened before with holiday parties when we've really made noise.
Evil Empire just stepped his head inside the door.
Black cape-wearing Alan Linewad came in here.
And there's a giant reversal.
Oh, right.
The WJFK staff Christmas party next Thursday night. Spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, all suddenly invited.
Guests.
Just people. And
all right.
Scratch the cash bar.
That's right. Open bar.
Wow.
Very good. So, but, you know, once again, no need to really let people know.
No, well, this is how they're letting people know.
This is it.
How they're letting... People didn't know that there was a Christmas party that was going to be cash bar with no spouses allowed until we announced it.
Right.
And then apparently once we announced it, the building went crazy. And apparently they put their heads together and they rubbed their two nickels together and then they came in and Alan said, No. Listen. You gotta get on the air. You gotta say, no. We've changed our minds.
Uh-huh.
Bring your wives. Bring your girlfriends. Bring the husbands. And it's not a cash bar. Please say, it's not a cash bar.
And it's on a school night.
Yeah, well.
That's all right. That happens. You know, you can't have everything.
You know what? I'm glad we got it turned around here.
That's good.
We got it turned around.
We'll have a great time there.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it either way.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I understand.
But it has nothing to do with the way that they dicked everybody around. But I hope everybody that does go has a great time and that they know that the reason they're having the great time is thanks once again
right
to the Adonai Show.
Right. Sure, of course.
Not to turn it around and make like everything revolves around us here.
Well, you've given your gift. You got the cash bar thing resolved. And it's okay. It's expected if you pull a Bennington.
We just couldn't make it on time.
Couldn't make it on time, Robbie.
Real sorry about that. Look at that son of a bitch.
Just couldn't make it on time.
Great.
All right, so anyway, I guess we kind of take back all the crap we said, but no, you're right, I don't take it back, because the only reason they changed it is because we got on the air and said that crap.
Exactly.
So that's our holiday gift to the people we work with here. Go ahead, and I urge you all to, being it's not a cash bar, get absolutely crazy smashed.
Yeah, drive cabs to and from.
And furthermore, with the food, load your pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Put as many shrimp in your suit pockets as you can.
Get doggy bags.
Eat them the next morning on pancakes.
I'm telling you, bring in cardboard boxes. And
right.
All the food they got laying out, just put it all in a box with eggs on top.
And then just trash the joint.
And
no, don't do that. I'm kidding.
No, please.
That'll frighten the people that are having the party.
Don't do that. But I'm glad that they came around. Because, goddamn, the people who work here, they work their asses
off.
They do.
They do indeed.
So everybody have a great time. Bring your spouse.
And if you don't have one, just, go to an escort service.
Mm-hmm. That's what someone who works here does.
Oh.
Someone whose name I can't say right now.
Oh, you make me laugh with that.
Yeah,
hey, big man, how you feeling?
Okay.
Feeling better?
Yeah.
My son's got the flu. He's had it most of the week.
Can't imagine why. 48 degrees at night, 78 degrees during the day.
Frida's got it. She has it not as bad as my son. Is Mom around?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll try her on a cell.
Okie doke.
All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
All right. See you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, my kid's been just sick as can be.
A lot of kids sick. A lot of people sick.
Let me see.
Young man at the bowling alley had been sick.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Buzz is sick.
That little kid last night.
In great tradition, as Buzz always gets sick the week before we leave for vacation. So as to maximize germ spreadation, that the day I leave on my vacation, I can get what he has.
I do it for you, Mike.
Or he does it. Think about it. He does it as a company man. That is, his illnesses are timed with vacation time.
Right. No, if his illnesses were timed with vacation, he gets sick on his vacation.
Except for you, Bart. You must leave.
No, she's not there.
I'm just hoping you got the little low-grade thing I had.
Whatever it is, it's very mild. It's really on one side on my...
Here's what I'm thinking, that I do have a responsibility to go to the party as the program director. I think I do. It'd be bad for morale if I don't go.
Well, I didn't tell you this during the break. I you know, because I'm not going to be able to go to the one up in New York.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping you guys would do the thing on Thursday.
Well, but, you know, next week is a really busy week for the show. Yeah. I mean, it really is. So I'm thinking that I might send a substitute. In my place as the program director, Dennis Murphy.
That'd be nice. That would be a good gesture
for me. I'm thinking about going.
I'm just thinking about maybe asking Dennis to step in, because sure. You know, at some point they'll have the speeches where the general manager stands up and says the station's done great, and then he'll want, you know, Broyhill to stand up, right. Operations are great, want me to stand up and say the programming
and
is
Dennis
great.
Dennis Murphy will make your speech.
Yeah, and Dennis can just go in my place, but I got to run that by the big boss first.
Yeah, right.
To see what she wants to do. Listen, yesterday on the show we did the boobs for Ben's.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that we left the internet voting open so that all the tape delayed markets could hear. A really good turnout on the voting.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind that I found out from the good people at DonandMikeFans.com that you couldn't vote more than one time on your computer.
Very good.
So you couldn't, like, go there and vote 20 times for your favorite person. Over 12,700 votes received on the internet yesterday.
We thank you for your votes.
We do. The pictures ended up being great. There were Kelly, Jen, Jessica, Jennifer, Lisa, and Tiffany. And via your votes on the World Wide Web, thank God Al Gore invented this baby, Kelly, our first contestant, gets you, the audience's vote, 7,010 votes. She won with 55% of the votes.
That's fantastic.
Kelly was the first girl who came in.
Congratulations, Kelly.
Let me see. Second place was Jen. Or no, I take it back. Second place was Jessica.
Okay.
Right, who had 2,225 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Third place was Jen the lesbian, who had 1,127 votes.
Wonderful.
I'm screwing this up. Kelly had 7,010 votes. Jessica, 2,225 votes. Tiffany, the last girl,
right,
1,503 votes. Jen, the lesbian, 1,127 votes. Lisa had 578 votes. Jennifer had 264 votes.
Wonderful!
So they all had support. And Kelly, Kelly, that is one vote for you now. And the rest of us will vote. We have four more votes to go.
Ah.
And I see no need for this to be a written ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I think this could be a vocal count. I remember these girls. I remember the breasts. And I have to say, I agree with the audience. I thought that Kelly's were outstanding. My vote is for Kelly. So that
another
is
another vote for Kelly.
That's two for Kelly. Mike. Okay.
I am going to go with, you know, it's a little subjective here. Hate to go against the audience. Never like to do that, but I'm going to vote for Jessica.
Jessica.
Simply because of her wonderful hanging gardens. I can't stand it.
Let's go to Robbie Speed Bump.
You know, I have to agree with Mike. There was some nice artwork on our first contestant, but
Jessica, man, that was like looking at Guernica. That was a lovely, lovely piece of work.
So, yeah, and then, you know, it's tough because you're, you know, you're going with the breasts themselves, but then lovely artwork as well.
Yeah, I mean, this, it was a little more abstract, but it was so, so grand in scale.
All right, and again, if you want to see these boobs, the pictures are still up at DonandMikeFans.com, and it comes down.
Is Jessica coming back in if she wins?
Mike, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Don't wait. Sorry.
It comes down to old spaghetti arm.
I have the tie-breaking vote, I guess.
Buzz has the tie-breaking vote. Or Buzz, if he votes for someone else...
Then it's...
A runoff.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And who knows what we get to run off.
Right.
No. We'll have to have a revote. Buzz?
Yes?
No pressure. But your vote could decide this.
Yes, it could.
Is it Kelly, Jen, Jessica, Jennifer, Lisa, or Tiffany?
I'll choose Kelly.
Kelly!
Kelly's the winner.
Kelly, the big winner.
And I'm happy for her because, boy, she did the best artwork.
She did all of her own painting. A great job. Right. And a lovely young woman.
And Buzz, tremendous willpower on that vote. Because I know you were painting one of those Jessica breasts.
And let me say also that Jessica got extra credit in my book because... She showed us her Christmas wreath.
Kelly did.
Kelly did, right.
Kelly is a tremendously deserving winner.
Kelly, the girl I voted for, not only showed us her Christmas wreath, she came in to paint one of the other girls as well.
That's right.
Could somebody get Kelly on a telephone, please, so we can tell her the good news that she's won one of the 29 keys?
I just want to give honorable mention to Tiffany, however, if I may.
And I would give my honorable mention, my second place. I would agree with Mike. I'd go with Jessica as my second place.
Yeah, if anything happens to Kelly, Jessica will fulfill all her duties.
Absolutely.
Her duties.
And then third place, I think I might have to go with... Christ, it's a tie between Lisa and Jen.
I think you got to go with Jen.
Yeah, and then... And Tiffany and Jennifer.
Although Jen's got such a great attitude, too. Great attitude for us.
Are we trying to find her on the phone right now?
She's
hold on, we got her.
You should have her quite soon, as a matter of fact.
Number seven, and here she is. Kelly.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kelly. Hey. Congratulations, Kelly.
Thank you.
Kelly, I'm feeling a little guilty. I hope you understand.
Why's that?
That, you know, I voted for Jessica, but I'm glad you won, too.
Well, I was up close and personal with Jessica as well, and I realized why you swayed your vote in that direction.
Thank you, Kelly. And Kelly, you know, you did get the extra credit for painting one of Jessica's breasts and also showing your garden.
Yes, I gave you extra credit for that. Kelly, you received my vote and Buzz's vote, and most importantly, the swaying vote was...
Yes, absolutely, the killer.
The people on the Internet, you were number one with 7,010 votes on the Internet yesterday.
Oh, that's awesome. Most times artists have to be dead for years before their art is recognized.
Kelly, congratulations. That's one great set of knockers. You did a beautiful job painting them. And more importantly, you've won one of the 29 keys that a week from tomorrow can start. The Mercedes-Benz C230 that we're giving away. So we will see you in those lovely, lovely jugs a week from tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kelly. Hold on a second.
Okay.
And, Don, if I could send a message out to young Jessica, that if there are any other games down the road that she thinks she could participate in, I would urge her to stay close to the radio.
Hard to believe that it was just weeks ago when I got pissed when no one showed up for strip trivia that I foolishly said,
yes,
it's going to ban all amateur and nudity on the show. And it seems...
And now the windfall of the boob contest.
Since then, like every time we do a contest, even when we did the dog poop contest,
yes,
we had girls coming and then showing us their rags.
The Fistful of Turkey was terrific,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, topless there, too.
You couldn't forget what her name was. I'm sorry. I just
so many girls, Mike.
Dancing in the brain today.
I know you won't forget Jessica, will you?
Oh, look at those.
Yeah, look at
can
that.
Can I take a look again?
There you go.
I never got a chance to see the picture.
That's for your scrapbook, Mike.
Thank you.
Listen, if you would like a chance to win today's key to start the Mercedes-Benz, and now we're getting down to the final five or six keys we're giving away.
That's right.
What you want to do is go to the Simply Wireless location at the Fair Oaks Mall. Okay, this is a very popular mall right here in the Fairfax County, Virginia. You want to go to Fair Oaks Mall to the Simply Wireless location. What are you doing, studying that?
Well, it's half. You got half. You didn't get the full picture.
I didn't print it out. Someone printed it out.
Okay. What were you saying?
Go to the Simply Wireless location at the Fair Oaks Mall anytime between now and 9 o'clock tonight.
Yes.
You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to do dick. Just go in. Tell them you want to enter for the Mercedes key. Fill out the form. We'll have a random drawing on tomorrow's show to give away one of the last keys.
We wore out these websites that we're on. AttractWomenNow.com.
Well, God. You got to do what you got to do, Mike.
Right. JingLove.com.
Have you ever heard some of the commercials that we play on this show?
Absolutely.
You know, how many times are we going to play commercials for men? Yeah. Do you have a small thing? Yeah, like there's some magic cream out there that you rub on yourself, and all of a sudden you're gonna turn into a tree trunk.
You know? Secrets in the rubbing.
Oh yeah, God! The Mercedes-Benz C230 Compressor Sports Coupe is the hottest car from Mercedes. 6 month waiting list for this baby. Courtesy of AT&T Wireless Services and Simply Wireless. Go to one of their stores. They'll do a rate plan analysis to make sure you're not paying too much for your wireless phone service, or just hit their website, please, at www.simplywireless.com.
Excellent.
That is next Friday when we're having the big key party. So we're running out of keys now.
Wow.
And only 29 people will get keys. So you go there today, and we'll give another one away on the air tomorrow. And I think, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, all we're going to do is just a random call number 100.
Excellent.
We'll make it real easy now for you.
Beautiful.
I know we got the speeding ticket guy coming up. Let me just take a couple of phone calls here. And, we still have not gotten into the incredible
Happy anniversary, baby.
Anniversary tribute.
You are my
the self tribute.
Yeah, tribute Happy to ourselves. Something that we're very comfortable doing.
Well, actually, it's not. It's not much of a tribute.
It's embarrassing.
It's goddamn embarrassing when you hear the type of radio that we were doing 16 years ago.
I hate it just about as much as I hate anything. I cannot stand listening to old shows.
Well, you're not gonna like this tape.
When I was just like going.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, this is Nick from Stanford. I just want to say y'all kick ass, and I've been remembering y'all back at WAVA.
Well, we're going to be reliving some of those moments later on today's show.
Is this Lisa's boyfriend?
Lisa's boyfriend.
Nick.
Yeah. Might not be Lisa's boyfriend, but my wife's ex.
This isn't DN, is it?
Huh?
You're not DN, are you?
Hey, Lisa, you'll notice I'm not saying nothing.
Dynamic Nick?
I'm not saying
anything. Well, I can be.
Dear Nick.
Dear Nick. Hey. We love him.
Dear Nick.
All you got to do is just...
All right, goodbye. Bye-bye.
Later.
What, Lisa?
Lisa, like, up in New York, gave me the real evil eye when I did that one.
Well, come here, tell me. What, Rummy? What is it? Remington Steel? What is the what is the problem?
Nothing, just popping my head in, just making sure everything's okay in here. That's all.
So protective of Dion. He's fine.
We love him.
He disciplines me more than Broyhill did.
Is the problem with when we call your boyfriend dumb, is the problem that he has a problem with it or you have a problem with it?
I would say it's a little bit of both.
Okay, because he's never, again, last night, I chatted with him and your sister and your sister's boyfriend.
He knows that we like him, right?
Yes.
He's aware of that, and everybody has that cross to bear, but I guess that one, it would be a little tough to handle,
just a little bit. It's a little hard.
I think it bothers her more.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because
Nick, Nick's been pretty upfront. I would say if it bothered him, he would just pull me aside and say, hey,
Up in New York, really, it was, I came out after I'd said something, and Lisa came out of the producer's room, and it was one of those things where I thought I said no more dumb comments about Nick, if you please. And ran away, and I was like, geez.
I would think, he would say, that I spent a lot of time talking to him last night, that he would just say, hey, you're pissing me off. Don't call me dumb Nick.
I just think it bothered him when he ran into some people he hadn't seen in years since high school, and they said, hey, I heard Don and Mike talking about you.
Well, how would they know that he's the dumb Nick?
Well, because Rob.
Well, Rob is. Unless he's a dumb guy,
right?
How would they know? Right?
Your sister was with an equally handsome guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Was Justin. There last night.
Guy looks like Jeff Gordon.
Right.
Guy's a ringer for Jeff.
Yeah.
He is.
You said hi, Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, he's a ringer for Jeff Gordon.
Yeah,
yeah. Lisa's sister.
Another wiry, athletic guy. You know, the kind of guys that really intimidate us.
But really, how would... I mean, that's a valid point. How would Nick's friends who just listen to the show, how would they know, if they don't know about your relationship with him, how would they know that he is dumb Nick?
Because they know that he's dating me.
Okay, so it's just people who just know.
Just people.
So it's not like strangers who he hasn't seen for years who go, hey, and he goes up and he goes, hey, I haven't seen you for 10 years. Hi, it's me, Nick. And they go, oh, wait, you're dumb Nick from the Don and Mike show.
No, it's they know that he's dating me and that he's called dumb. And they say, hey, that's funny. And he says, no, it's really not.
But he's not.
He's not. He's not dumb.
He's not dumb.
He's not at all.
No.
No.
It's a joke.
We kid because we love, right?
Yes.
Rob?
Absolutely.
Why me? I'm the friendliest towards Nick of anybody.
He's no, like, I am.
That's
I
like
am.
Mike is.
Oh, no, I am.
No, seriously.
Oh, no,
Mike
me.
Is because they drunk.
No, hold on a second.
No, I'm the friendliest.
Hey, wait, you know what? Really, who do you think is the friendliest to Nick?
I am not going to answer that question. I don't know.
Favorite.
Who do you think is favorite?
I was going to say me.
Of course.
No, out of us, out of the four of us.
I know he likes me the best.
Yeah, I think Mike's right, but... I think perhaps if I tried harder.
Wait, maybe. Let me ask, of the four of us, which does Nick hate? Who does Nick hate the most?
Who does Nick hate the most? Definitely Buzz.
Yeah. What?
Buzz, you are a fall guy,
yes,
man.
Yes, I am.
You know, you let it roll off your back. You're definitely the fall guy in this situation.
Right. This is extremely gay, this whole conversation we're having right now about like who likes us the most.
Who does he like the best?
Who Nick likes the best.
Yeah, right, okay.
I'm always like Nick. Okay. Always found him to be a fun
Absolutely.
Guy. Yeah. Good guy.
He's great.
He's a terrific guy.
Good guy.
Yes.
Down to earth.
Carry on.
Bye-bye.
So what it boils down to is the guy on the phone wasn't the same Nick.
Not the
right.
same.
No, not at all. Right.
Not dumb.
Hey, Lisa, I have a question, please, before you leave. I understand the blatant calling him that, D.
Hey, dumb.
Hey, dumb Nick.
However, yeah, now just this. Now, this would be a way... It would just be funny. And I'm asking you because it would be extremely funny. Like, if we get callers that might be not sharp and we say, is this Nick, without coming out and saying that, would that be an avenue where it wouldn't be calling him saying that word? In fact, it couldn't be, he couldn't be labeled that
you
word.
Say, hi,
it would just be kind of like, hey, that would be a way we could vent it.
Right, we say, I mean? Hey, Nick. Do you want to talk to Lisa?
That's see, and then it's not calling him that, so it's really...
or...
And people that would approach him probably wouldn't be able to make that, I don't.
Or we could just start calling him Smart Nick.
Right.
Yeah.
Smart Nick.
Right.
Like a beatnik, a smart Nick.
I think we should make it very clear that Nick has never, ever said anything... that we would really be able to identify as being a dumb thing
we
just bust his balls.
Because he's so pretty.
That's the problem.
That's what it is.
Because he looks like one of those NSYNC boys.
He's a good-looking guy. Yeah. That's why we do that.
Sure.
Right. That's right.
And you know what?
Easier to find fault with us.
And if he gets bothered by that, tell him to look in the mirror and then maybe get a publicity photo of us. And that will make it all better.
Okay. Or if you get him to put on like 80, 90 pounds, then all of a sudden he'd be real smart, I bet.
Absolutely. Smart as a whip.
All right. Well, thank you, Lisa.
Okay.
I for one think it's very cute that you come in to protect your
brother. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Passionately up in New York. Thought she was going to smack me.
All right.
That's right.
All right.
Keep you in line, Amira.
Hey, just one thing. I'll be watching you. Or whatever it is.
Take you down.
I'll take you down to Chinatown.
I'm sure that doesn't hurt Nick's masculinity at all that you have to come in and fight for him. For his good name on the show.
Wait a minute.
There it was, all ending peacefully.
I'm sure not his favorite now.
I'm sure he doesn't feel like less of a man because his girlfriend has to come in and scream at us every time we call him dumb.
Mm-hmm. She's one of the guys, and she fights like one of the guys.
Sure, dirty.
Okay. God damn right.
She's scrappy. Right.
Because we love.
That's
right.
Right.
Okay.
Of course. Bye, Remington.
Here's your Remington arms.
Terrific.
Okay.
So, how many Knicks we got on the phone today?
I don't know. Let's see. Let's just try it with somebody. Okay, let's just try it. I'm sure there'll be a dumb guy on one of these lines.
You think?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, pretty dumb here.
Is this Nick?
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Nick here.
Oh, my God.
Slower next time, sir.
Hello.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Kevin from Winchester, Virginia. Just want to wish you guys some holidays. You know, a good holiday. And it sounds like you're all getting off to a bad rap.
We're not able to do the show right now.
Is this Nick?
Thanks, Nick.
Is this Nick?
He hung up.
He went, well, happy holiday.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Oh, I'm not Nick. I could be Nick. I'm dumb sometimes. Yes, good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, hi.
I had a question for you. When you call him dumb Nick, are you actually doing that switch the consonants thing?
No. But, although that's even funnier. Because then he would be numb.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
He could be dumb, but he can last forever.
Yeah, he can, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Numb. Numb member.
UND.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Dan.
Hi, Dan.
This is dumbass Nick.
D-A-N, Dan.
Okay, I get it.
Oh, I get
right, Dan.
Right.
Dan.
Dumb, yeah, dumb, that, there it is, Dan.
Dumbass Nick. Okay. But see, no,
yeah,
that's
cruel.
We've never called him a dumbass.
No.
No, so the difference between just saying dumb Nick and right. saying dumbass. Mm-hmm. Dumbass, we mean.
And we explained the whole dumb thing because he's just too good-looking and we have to call him something.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, can I get in the air talk to Don and Mike?
Hey, hi, Nick.
Hello? Is this Don and Mike?
Hi, Nick.
Hey, can I talk to Lisa?
So here's the guy who's playing right. the game, correct? Right.
Everybody right. wants to play now.
Hello, we got another Nick. Hi, Nick. Hey, Nick.
Hey, let me speak to Lisa, please.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, now it's beginning to get a little cruel.
Yeah. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Donna. Can I talk to Donna, Mike, please?
All right, that's two in a row. Now she's gonna quit today.
Yeah, so
we gotta break.
Just kidding.
We gotta break. Good news though. You can bring him to the Christmas party, Lisa.
Yeah, absolutely. And he can drink for free.
We will be right back. Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Let them scrape your nipples off their fine leather seats. Don and Mike.
All right, it'll be a pleasure.
Yeah.
We love your phone calls anytime at 877-365-3636. That's the national number, DC 202-432-1067. New York City, much love to you at 877-692-1027. We have in New York for a couple days next week doing some stuff up there. Tomorrow on the Friday episode, we've got rescheduled Trish Stratus, WWF-er, hot POA. Better looking than the last girl wrestler we had on, I'm told. Also tomorrow, to talk about what a gigantic pussy Howie Long is, the turkey neck Chris Collinsworth from Fox NFL Sunday.
Longest neck in broadcast.
Yeah, but he loves talking about how Howie Long is afraid to look at Jillian Barbary.
Yes, absolutely.
Also tomorrow, the brand new low-budget Jeff Hardeen.
All right.
One I know you're going to like. And also Charlie Stossel reviewing movies with the angry man.
Yes, the going postal guy.
Let me see. Next week on the show, tons of stuff. Another mystery guest next week. Monday we'll be having our Chanukah show with that guy Michael Hoffman coming in.
Oh, good.
Michael Hoffman.
Dreidel thing. And next Thursday is the big one. I mean, Friday we're doing the car show. But next Thursday is going to be the official Don and Mike Christmas show.
Right.
When we have the exchanging of the gifts and the Beatles tapes and more, and a Hamburger James story. And more importantly, the Christmas Misfits concert live outside on the grassy knoll.
Yay.
This year featuring Tom Gavin as Santa Claus, Dennis Murphy as Baby Jesus,
right.
And Homo Joe, Mr. 40, and Cheryl the Big Dyke as the three wise men.
It'll be beautiful.
Well, so that is...
they'll be dressed up.
That's what's happening.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year.
That's
thank
all next week on the show. Now we have a guest, a guy we've had on before, and frankly, the guy's book is great. He's written another book. You know, we normally don't have, like, dumbass authors on the show. But, no, really, because who wants to hear some dope who wrote a book? But this book, it's a good one. I mean, that's I'm giving you a compliment here, Alex.
Thanks.
That the last time you were on the show, the phones went crazy, and the book is Speeding Excuses That Work.
Mm. Which, you know, was amazing the first time we talked to you, because we were amazed that, that A, an excuse could work, and B, how many of them there were that could work.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I think the last time it was Beat the Cops.
Yep, Beat the Cops was my first book.
That's the last time we had him with the fight to winning traffic tickets. If you got a ticket, how do you beat the cops?
Right.
We had the guy on, and he told us a bunch of stuff, and people called in. So now he's got a new one, Speeding Excuses That Work.
Oh, good.
So we'd like some examples, please. Oh, I'll give your website out. It's www.copouts.com. And phone number 1-866-COP-OUTS. So let's say that, let's use a woman, let's say a very attractive, very hot 45-year-old woman who's married to just one hell of a guy, a prince of a guy.
And a great lover.
Couldn't be a nicer man, a better husband, a better father. She sounds something like this. Okay. Her name, for purposes of this story, will be Frida,
mm-hmm.
which is coincidentally my wife's name.
Right.
And let's say that she's recently gotten a ticket that will count 4 points against her driver's license.
What's the excuse she should have given?
Yes.
There's a number of them, actually. We got a whole bunch of excuses from women, and there's actually a section in there that's just women-only excuses.
All right, well, give me your number one excuse for women only.
I think the one that's probably the easiest for most women to pull off is when they get stopped and the, you know, cop says what seems to be the hurry. They just say, you know, officer, I'm so sorry I was speeding. I've got a bladder infection, and I'm in enormous pain, and I've really got to go to the bathroom.
Now simple, but it works.
I had very, very effective, because cops know what bladder infections are all about.
I had a woman tell me one time that she said to a cop, she was pulled over on the way to work, and she said, I just started my period.
Yep, right. I don't have any tampons.
I don't have any tampons, and the cop let her go.
Yeah, they won't touch that one either.
Now,
yeah,
that one, I would imagine, is that would be one of the more popular ones, one of the more overused. If you get a real savvy cop, you know, but I guess it's one that
how you sell it.
Yeah, and if you call the bluff, the cop, I mean, it's like playing poker, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Yeah.
All right, so give us another one. Give us a one that's not like the bladder or the tampons.
Let's see. There was one. Let's see. This one. I got a couple of women who sent in who said that they had they'd gotten stopped, and they just went hysterical. You know how women can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, "Oh my God, officer, I'm so sorry. I got off work early today, and I came home and I found my husband in bed with another woman, and I'm beside myself. Wow.
you really expect women to really use that?
I had several women say that they did.
And it's all about how you sell it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to give you a background on where these came from, actually, what I did was I had a contest on my website for the last couple of years, and what I said was I gave away a free copy of my book to the person who submitted the best ticket story or excuse every week. And so over the last couple of years, we got over 1,500 submissions that came in, and this book is just, you know, all the best ones crammed in there. So that these are from real people.
I remember I sent one in, and I didn't win, and I was surprised. Well, maybe it's because it's never worked when I tell the cop, I'm extremely late for my tea time.
it
doesn't seem to do anything.
In the book, one of the things in this book now, and I don't want to give away all the secrets of the book.
Oh, we can give it all away. Doesn't
okay,
matter.
All right. Then anyway, what is the piece of jewelry that will always get you out of a ticket?
Okay, this works for both men and women. Okay, the piece of jewelry is an engagement ring. Now, if you're a woman, what you do is when you get stopped, you get, once again, hysterical, but this time you're hysterically happy. Okay, and
like crazy.
My boyfriend has been like commitment phobic for the last 3 years, and I can't believe it. He actually finally proposed to me today, and here's the ring. You know, you show it to the cop. I'm so sorry, officer. I was just so excited. I couldn't help myself. What cop is going to spoil your day?
Well, I bet I know a few who could.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And if you're a guy, conversely, what do you do?
This was actually a guy who sent this in. He said he was up in Massachusetts.
It's a C-ring.
Yeah. He said this was a true story. And he got stopped, and it was actually a lady cop, although I think it would work for either a lady or a guy cop either way. And she came up to the window. She's like, okay, what's the hurry? And he said, look, I'm so sorry I was speeding. He said, my girlfriend is getting on a plane in an hour, and she is leaving, and she's been bitching at me for years of not proposing, and I'm commitment phobic. And so he pulls the ring out and he says, I'm going to catch her to ask her to marry me, and if I don't catch her, I am never going to see her again.
So, man, so what you do is you get like a piece of rhinestone or
zirconia or whatever.
That is brilliant.
But again, you're playing on the fact that the cops got a heart. Let me ask you again, I'm just going to go right from the book here, from some of the stuff that I've read. There's a secret hand signal that you can use, allegedly, to keep the cops from stopping you.
Yeah. No, Rob, it's not
the finger,
it's not
right?
That middle finger thing.
No.
What is the secret hand signal?
This one was really funny. I couldn't believe it. This guy actually sent in. He said, my brother-in-law is a Cincinnati cop, and he said, we were at a party one time, and I think he kind of slipped, and he told me, he said, you know, I would never stop somebody who waved at me because they're probably another cop. So he said, I decided to try it. He said, I was coming back from Cincinnati one day, and he said, I was going about 85, and I blew by this trooper in the median, and his head jerks up because his radar went off. And he said, he was getting ready to, pull out. He said, I waved at him. And he said, I couldn't believe it. The guy smiled at me and waved back.
I wave at the cop. The next thing I got is a bullet coming through my windshield.
No. Here's the thing. You got nothing to lose. You know why? Because even if he does stop you, you just say, hey, I was waving at you because I knew you got me, and I was just acknowledging that you got me.
Right.
You know, you got nothing to lose. You might as well try.
So let me, the logic of that is that if you're waving at him, you're somehow connected to policemen?
Exactly. It's cops will acknowledge each other, and evidently, because I've asked a couple other cops about this, and they said yes. Evidently, because most people, when the cop turns on his lights or gets and starts chasing him, they ignore the guy. They're right. They pretend not to see him. And it really irritates cops.
Yeah.
So if you got a cop behind you, like look in your rearview mirror and just wave at him, kind of like, hey, you got me, and turn on your turn signal and start moving over.
All right.
And that's probably I want to just pursue that. So you're saying that that's a good thing to do, even if they've nailed you already, to wave at him and then maybe point to the side to help him out. That I believe in that. That
absolutely
is really good.
Yeah,
you know,
smart.
The sooner you pull over, and if you pull further over, so as to be, keep the guy safe, that's a good thing to do.
Absolutely, there's a whole section in the middle of this book. It's called the bonus section, and I worked with a couple of cops on this thing, and it's basically all about what to do and what not to do when you get stopped and how not to get stopped in the first place. And these two cops between them had written over 30,000 tickets. So
in other words,
what they're talking about. Yeah.
If a cop pulled you over and he came up to the window and you went, what? That wouldn't work.
Bad.
Nah.
All right, why should we always keep a bottle of water in our car? This is one that I didn't understand.
Oh, okay. Well, this guy actually, he said, I always carry a bottle of water with me, and every time I get pulled over, I just dump a little water in my lap, and when the cop comes to my window, I just tell him I have bladder problems.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's different.
All right, that's a simple one.
You had said before all cops know about bladder infections. Why is that?
Well, because, they've all got wives or girlfriends, and, the story with bladder infections.
Right, well, what about the guy who gets out of tickets with a garden hose?
Oh, this one was hysterical. This guy got this. Once again, true story, first time it happened. He gets pulled over early Sunday morning. Cop comes up to his window. He says, what's the hurry? He says, I'm so sorry, officer. He said, I live in a third-story apartment building. My waterbed sprung a leak this morning, and it's running all over the floor, and I couldn't find a garden hose anywhere around to drain the waterbed with, so I had to run down to my office to get it. He had the garden hose right there with him, showed it to the cop. He said, look, you can write me a ticket. He said, but just, follow me to my place because I got to get there. It's flooding downstairs. And the cop's like, get out of here. So now he carries the garden hose around with him everywhere he goes, and he's gotten out of 7 tickets in a row.
But in the event
pulled over by the same cop twice, he's in big doo-doo.
Yeah, or what if the cop says to you, hey, I got a couple of minutes, I'll come help you.
Yeah, and he comes to your house. They can probably do something to you, right?
I mean, the chances of that happening are, they're so minuscule.
There's an element of risk in all of them.
But we all like knowing if there's a way to get out of this.
I like the waving.
What about, you have a trick to use your cell phone?
Oh, this was a guy, this guy was a construction worker. He said it was a real busy day at work. We were running behind schedule. My boss was breathing down my neck, and we ended up having to skip lunch. And so when I finally got off work at like 6 o'clock, I, you know, picked up my cell phone immediately, and I called the local pizza joint, and I ordered the works to be delivered to my house. And so I'm rushing to my house to get there before the pizza guy gets there. And then, of course, some cop comes out of nowhere and pulls me over, and he's like, you know, well, what's the hurry, buddy? And he said, look, I'm so sorry. I'm just really hungry. It's been a long day. I missed lunch. I'm just trying to get home before the pizza guy gets there so I don't miss my dinner. And the guy's like, okay, go ahead, get out of here.
Wow. This is all based on getting cops who have a heart, though.
Right. Well, you know what? That's the whole thing here. It's all about, cops do have hearts, okay? Some of them are harder to get to than others, but they're all people. And you got to remember that. And if you can play on their sympathy and, you know, make them feel
just
bad
people.
And write you a ticket, then you got a chance of getting off of the
All right, let me ask you a question. If you were, say, involved with a very successful radio program that was listened to by a large number of people, what would be the best way that you would communicate that to the officer without appearing to be a pretentious, egomaniacal son
A-hole.
Of a bitch? Good question. I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm asking because I'm desperate here.
If you and communicate to the people that I didn't quite understand your question.
Well, my question is how do you how
when
do
the guy pulls
I've
him
always,
over?
I've
wants,
always been curious as to how to let the cop know, just in case he might be a listener, that I do this show without appearing to be.
Oh,
you know,
okay, I understand.
You know what I mean? Without and you can really say it in such a way, and I still don't know how to do it. That you can come across as a real like arrogant. Huh.
Right. No, I understand.
You don't want to say,
excuse me, I'm
host on the Don Mike show.
Right. Yeah. I think the one time I used to do it, you know, I said, hey, I don't want to use my secrets.
You know what I would
come on, what? No,
I
just...
I would think maybe you could tell some kind of a story kind of offhanded. Say, you know, the other day I was interviewing a guest on my show.
See, there's a reason I asked it. You know, there's a reason I asked.
And then you could tie that in, and then he'd go, really, you're a show host, really. What? And then you see you open it up, but you didn't, you know.
I got it already.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, thank you. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to improve on that.
Okay, people are calling for you, but I got one last thing I have to ask you about, and this is something, yeah, my wife got this ticket recently.
Okay.
And you tell me, I've had people tell me it's true, and I've had people tell me it's false, and I think we talked about it the last time you were on a couple of years ago, but the rumor is that if you get a ticket...
And you overpay the fine.
And you overpay it by $1 or whatever, there's some rigmarole.
Yeah, because bureaucracy, paperwork, red tape.
Because I have asked hundreds of thousands of people on the radio that question, and I have only gotten two people who said that it worked for them, and neither one of them were able to substantiate it, so I don't know whether they were lying or not.
See, I think it's an urban legend.
Yeah,
but
I really think it's an urban legend, and I don't recommend people do it.
You overpay the ticket when you write in the check by $1, and because of that, it gets caught up in the red tape and
right.
the bureaucratic
system. Well, supposedly what happens is they write you a refund check, and then you don't cash the refund check, and because you don't cash the refund check, supposedly it leaves the case open, and it never goes on your driver.
Now, is there anything in your book about the new phenomenon, which is the robotic ticket giving the cameras that take pictures? I mean, have you heard anything around that? Or is
yeah, there's
this...
we got a whole section on
the
camera.
Oh, you're the man. Because people are concerned about that nowadays.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
there's
great.
There's a couple of strategies for that. One of the best ones, which I came across not too long ago, is and this works especially well. Well, it only works if you're married, okay. And what you do is you register your wife's car in your name and your car in her name.
Right.
Okay. And then what happens is you get a ticket, and obviously the car is registered in your wife's name. So you go in and you challenge the ticket based on the fact that you know that's obviously you know. The driver is obviously not her, okay? So you have to identify. Well, they'll say, well, who is the driver? Because you're supposed to identify the driver. And then what you say is, I cannot identify the driver based on privilege. Now, here's the trick. Most people don't realize this, but you know that attorney-client privilege where attorneys and clients can't narc on each other?
Right.
Well, it works for spouses.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have tremendous balls though to go into court and say that though.
No, you don't. You don't even go to. It's not even going into court. It's like you deal with the DA or whoever's like doing the prosecutor.
So, the DA.
So
yeah.
the ticket is, but what about? I thought the ticket was based on the vehicle itself. That if you're you know, that either you or your wife is going to have to pay the ticket, because you're, it's not the driver that's getting the ticket, it's the car.
It depends on the jurisdiction. They are doing it, they're doing it different ways in different situations. And that's, so it's not always the case.
All right.
That, when it's based on the driver, which is the case in most jurisdictions, that works.
Very good.
Now, another thing that works is that, remember when you go to court on a ticket that the cop has to show up?
Right.
Right.
The reason why is because you have a constitutional right to confront and cross-examine your accuser, which is the cop.
Right.
Now, in this particular case, your accuser is a camera. So when you go to court and you demand to confront and cross-examine your accuser, which you have a constitutional right to, they're out of luck.
Oh, that is, now that is fantastic.
But again, I maintain, you're going to have giant balls to go in a courtroom and then say,
right.
I demand to have the camera.
But right. That, is there precedent? Have people done that in one?
Well, here's the thing is that they don't want to set precedent. There's been a lot of people who've gotten out of that, got out of those tickets that way, but they just dismissed them.
Because conceivably, if somebody was so inclined,
yeah.
If somebody wanted to do that, I mean, it is a constitutional issue.
Exactly.
You could take it to the Supreme Court.
Exactly, and they don't want that to happen.
Oh,
so they won't let it go beyond traffic court. They don't want to set precedent.
That man, you the man. That right. Is fantastic.
Alex, hold on. We got a couple of calls for you here, if you
okay.
Don't mind. Let's see. James, hello. You're on with Alex Carroll. James.
Hey, James.
Hey.
Hey, I used a real great excuse one time. I had told him I had to take a real big duke, and he let me off.
Well, it doesn't get any more simple than that, does it? Thanks
right.
For calling, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello. Don and Mike, that's the first time it really works. Hello, Mandy.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Mandy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Oh, you came and you gave without taking.
There you go.
And I sent you away. Oh, Mandy. Oh,
what?
Mandy, you bitch.
What did I do?
Oh, yeah, help me and it kept me from shaking. I sent you away. Oh, Mandy.
We're just doing a little Barry Manilow tribute for you, Mandy.
Yeah, I know.
No problem. Go ahead.
Well, it's more of an excuse I've thought of for if I ever do get caught running the red lights. If you say that you're getting out of the way of an emergency vehicle,
mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that work? Cause that
yep.
Means...
yep, that would definitely work, but there better be an emergency vehicle around somewhere.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't know if you were just going...
That's a good question. If you went... because I just got one of the red light tickets recently from the camera. If I went
you're talking about for the cameras. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, they won't know. I mean, you just say, oh, I was getting out of the way of an emergency vehicle, and then...
Here's the other thing about those camera tickets is that they go off. You know how when you're in an unshielded intersection, you're trying to make a left-hand turn and you don't have an arrow?
Right.
You know, you get stuck in the intersection because everybody's running like the same way. And
a lot says
you can finish your turn.
Hey, you know what?
Camera doesn't know the difference.
The best one that I heard that I if we hadn't paid this ticket yet, I'm going to go to court. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say I was getting out of the way of an ambulance.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that would have to work, I would think. That's
I've always planted
in my head, and I just want to know if that would
brilliant idea.
That's a good one. Put that one in your next book. Hold on.
Definitely.
Here is Carlos. Hey, Carlos, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Don, you're a fat bastard.
Oh, come on, Carlos. You're ruining my bed here.
Do you have any question for the author here, Carlos?
Yeah, can I get a free book?
Goodbye, Nick.
Yeah. Actually, if you go to the website, you've got a good ticket story or excuse, submit it, and the best one every week gets a free book.
How about
Eric? Hey, Eric, you're on the air. Eric.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, hi.
Hey, listen, I tried everything in the book, and as far as that red light ticket goes, it doesn't work to dismiss it, because they got your on camera with the time that you crossed and how long has the red light been on, how many seconds since...
Yeah, now this guy brings up a point that I can't hear him. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But what he's saying is, and I mentioned this when I got my red light ticket, it shows that the light has been red for 0.9... seconds.
But what he was talking about was identifying you, and that's where it speaks to the registration, and also that would speak to the emergency vehicle. I mean,
right.
that I was getting out of the way. I mean, the
yep.
tenths of a second aren't going to matter if that's what you were doing.
Yeah,
and
I
by
guess
the
so.
Way, you know, if you don't want to go in and challenge it, you know, based on spousal privilege, you can just hire an attorney to do it, because you also have, the attorney has the same privilege. And the attorney can go in and just say, well, based on privilege, I can't identify the driver.
All right, hold on. Kevin is here, who says he's a cop. Kevin.
Don and Mike.
You really
hey,
a cop?
Kevin, what's up?
Are you really a cop, Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay.
The emergency vehicle trick won't work because the emergency vehicle would have to run the same red light, and their picture would show up also in the film.
Yeah, but would they? Would the
but are they gonna track that closely? Are they gonna go back and dig through all the photos and try to find that?
Yeah, well, I mean, they could. No, but
let's say, hold on a second, Kevin. Let's say you're in court, and there's no cop there or anything to verify this, and you just say there was an ambulance. I was getting out of the way of an ambulance. They're not gonna say, okay. We're going to go back and review all of the pictures taken by this camera.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Right?
No way.
Come on, Kevin. You got to admit, that's a good one.
I'll buy it by
Hey, Kevin, Kevin, is there any particular excuse that tugs at your heartstrings where you might catch somebody some slack?
Well, the one about the starting the period always works.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to get in that situation where you feel like they're going to put up their clothes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, see, that's the one.
Thank you.
Tough bluff to call.
Right. Hey, Dave, you're on the air. David.
Yeah, I want to ask this guy about the phenomenon where cops, they always give me the ticket, but they always say, well, I'm not going to give you reckless, even though I was driving way over the speed limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the thing is the points still go on your record, and then your insurance still gets jacked up, and that still costs $1,000.
So they're trying to act like nice guys, and they're not really being.
They're still getting a quota notch for it.
I was thinking again about the period excuse, and the period excuse is almost airtight. Excuse the pun.
You want to hear one other one that's totally airtight?
What? Sure.
This is another female excuse. This one was hysterical. This woman says she got stopped. And the cop's like, okay, what's the hurry? And she says, I'm so sorry, officer. 20 minutes ago, I tripped and I fell down the stairs. And I'm rushing to the hospital because I think one of my implants sprung a leak.
Well, what if the cop calls your bluff?
Because here's the deal. And I was
going to...
I didn't get it.
I'm going to give you an escort.
Hold on. I didn't finish this with the period thing. You're speaking to harassment at that point. If the cop says, let me see that it's that time of the month, what is he basically asking you to do? If he says, let me see your breast to see if you sprung a leak, it's the same deal.
Yeah,
whether or not you've got it or not, the cop is giving you sexual harassment.
All right, we got time for one more. We have Clark, who's a paramedic. Clark.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Clark.
We've had a couple of our guys get ticketed by those red light cameras while they were driving the ambulance. And they check. Every time we blow through one of those intersections and the camera takes a picture, they check to make sure we're on a call or not. And if we're not on a call, if your lights aren't on and you weren't dispatched to a call, they will ticket you.
Wow.
If you use the excuse that... I was getting out of the way of an emergency vehicle. They have the ability to check to see whether or not there was an emergency vehicle right around you.
They have the ability to, but are they going to?
Yeah, but will they? Or you could say, hey, there was a cop coming up behind me, that I saw the lights behind me, and I figured I better get the hell out of the way.
You know, guys, it gets back to that constitutional issue again, really. And I'm thinking about, the more I think about that, how many times do you hear a cop in traffic court say, I am licensed and a trained operator of this device. I'm certified to operate this radar gun. When you're talking about just the machine, who can really prove that the machine is absolutely fail-safe and infallible? I think that's the biggest thing, because everybody hates those cameras. Oh, everybody does.
Clark, thank you. We got time for one more, and it's Johnny. You're the last one. Johnny.
Hi, John. Hey, Don, Mike. Mike just brought up a thing where a guy is in the courtroom saying, who's going to challenge it. I was at Hydesville, Maryland court, and I had one of those red light tickets, and there was an actual guy there with each individual paper with all the time, date, and I said, I was running through because I tried to stop. It was a rainy morning. He had the picture. It showed it raining, but they figured it out by math, how fast I was going, how much time I had to stop. There was an actual guy sitting there challenging what I had said.
Yeah, but he was challenging you.
There actually at the scene of
right,
the alleged violation.
Right, he was basically interpreting the data that he got from
a machine. What? That is hearsay because he wasn't there when it supposedly happened.
Right.
Because his name was on the side of the paper. I certified it.
Does it? Yeah, right. He's right.
It doesn't matter.
He wasn't there.
All right, thanks. Listen, Alex, the new book is Speeding Excuses That Work.
All right.
The best way to get it is there's two ways. There's a toll-free number. It's 866-COP-OUTS.
Right.
And the website is copouts.com. And if any of your listeners that order the book, if they mention your show when they order, they get a free list of speed traps along with the book for whatever state they live in. They also get a free brochure that tells them all about an organization that will pay the fine on their speeding ticket. No kidding. And I got to say, this makes a great stocking stuffer for anybody you know who has a gas pedal in their car.
All right, gotcha. Always good talking to you. Thank you, Alex.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
See you, buddy.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure to have him on the show.
It's pretty good. You know, that thing with the, I was getting out of the way of an ambulance. That sounds to me like a winner, man.
You know, and really, when you think about the issue of, it's such a big story for this particular area here in Washington. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Those cameras and those red lights.
Oh, they're everywhere.
You think about, I'd love to, you know, if that ever happens to me, I would almost be inclined to go in there and challenge it on a constitutional ground that this is, you have to be able to confront your accuser. And, you know, not the guy that's sitting there interpreting the data, but you know what, you do get those traffic court judges where that ain't going to be that. You better bring a lawyer if you're going to do that.
F you.
Yeah, right.
And that would be the time where you'd say that, and he would go, Mike O'Mara. That's where it worked against you. Go, don't you do the Don and Mike show?
Yes, sir. Right.
And that would be the thing with it. All right. 38. Goodbye.
Don't rape me.
I told you, I was in traffic court one time fighting a ticket, and I had this judge, this female judge, who says to me, do you do the Don and Mike show? I said, yes. She said, were you talking the other day on your show about road rage? And I said, gee, I guess we were. We talk about all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And she said, guilty.
Yeah, guilty.
Because she was pissed that we were doing a segment on the show about road rage, about what people do to each other on the road.
Yeah, for those of you that have never found yourself in traffic court, it really does come down to the judge's mood.
That's my problem with the book. I know the guy's right, the cops are human, but if the cop doesn't make eye contact with you, if he walks up, takes your license, and walks away from the car, you never have a chance to try some of these strategies. And the same thing once you get in the court system. Maybe those people are human, but they sure don't act like it when you get there.
But on the other hand, I know we got a break. I just want to say also, though, I've also had extreme luck with like up in Ocean City on Coastal Highway, where it goes from 55 to 35.
Right.
When the guy nails me and he comes up to the car and I've already got the license and the registration.
Well, that's because all you have to do is buy him a skateboard.
And I immediately, they're young guys. They're very untrained. And you give them the license and registration. You go, listen, I know it. I've lived up here my whole life. I know it. 55 to 35, I know it. Every time the guy has just given it back, said, just watch it.
Take it easy, and then I'll see you later at Chuck E. Cheese.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The program director was just listening to your show, and he asked me to give you this.
Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That's your national number, DC 202-432-1067, in New York, 877-692-1027.
They listen to radio backwards. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike Show. I'm in here in the Fair Oaks Mall. I was looking for, did you say it was at a Simply Wireless location?
Yes, absolutely. To win today's key, one of the last keys we're giving away for the Mercedes-Benz show next Friday, go to the Simply Wireless store in the Fair Oaks Mall.
It isn't on the directory. Is it one of those little kiosks in the middle of the place?
Might be.
Maybe it's not listed on the store directory.
What, are you in Fair Oaks Mall right now?
I'm in Fair Oaks, looking at the directory right now. It has the Singular Wireless, EDX.
Next. All right, hold on a second, Nick. Hold on. I'll have Rob call and find out where it is.
Try the helpful help desk in the center near Santa Claus. They'll help you.
hold on a second.
You got a card. It says it's in Fair Oaks Mall, right?
Yes.
Yeah, hold on. I'm right here standing.
All right, hold on, Nick. Hold on a second. We'll find out. Rob, why don't you just call off the air? There's the number of the place and find out where the hell the thing is. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy you just had on about how to avoid a traffic ticket, he was pretty good.
Yeah, hey, are you on a speakerphone?
I am. You want me to pick up?
Yeah.
It's all right.
That's all right.
He was pretty good, but there's a couple mistaken comments he made. Number one, about the guy who's interpreting the data and testifying about the red light camera.
Are you a lawyer?
Yep.
Okay.
Can I? All right. Well,
what?
Anything he testifies to in that regard is not hearsay. Hearsay is a comment that was made out of court.
Yeah, but what about the confront your accuser issue?
Okay, that is actually a valid issue.
Good.
Whether or not you prevail on that, I don't know. But if there's any hearsay question, actually, it's the camera pictures themselves.
Oh,
they would be hearsay.
Who doesn't hate lawyers? Anything else we can do for you?
The other thing, though, is you're talking about all these things you're going to testify into in court. I would suggest that anything you testify to that's not true, that's perjury. And
All right.
And I would suggest
have a crappy holiday counselor.
I would suggest you take your law books and shove them up your ass, okay? Please, kiss my ass. Go bill somebody $300 an hour for giving them a J.O.
Right.
You useless piece of garbage.
I was giving you advice.
Oh, you're giving me advice.
Yeah, go crawl back under your rock.
I'll perjure myself at your death trial when I swear I didn't kill you. Wow. And I swear no. I didn't kill the DA lawyer that called up. And when we had a great segment on with people telling the people how to get out of speeding tickets.
You ever hear the one, sir, about the guy calls his lawyer's office, says, I want to speak to my attorney. She said, I'm sorry to tell you, he died on Saturday. And she calls back the next day, says, can I speak to my attorney, please? She says, sir, I told you yesterday, he died on Saturday, over the weekend he passed away. Calls the third day in a row, and he says, can I speak to my lawyer? I said, sir, I've told you now for 3 days in a row, the lawyer that you want to speak to died on Saturday. And the guy says, that's okay, I just wanted to hear it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Curiosity, though, why do you trash me just because I happen to be a lawyer?
Because you called with this whole...
Yeah.
The whole point of the call was, if I'm not mistaken, to paraphrase you, we're telling people to purge themselves, you know, to commit perjury.
No. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying you shouldn't.
Why not?
There's an alternative, but there's an alternative to that.
Yeah, right. It's called paying the ticket.
Well, no. But there's, besides that...
Or the alternative is to pay some guy like you...
Right.
...an incredible amount of money to go...
And we all know, with the American judicial system, sir, how incredibly based on the truth it is.
Right.
For someone who got ripped off over, you know, over the internet and went the whole way in the American judicial system, all the way down to the line, it doesn't amount... It didn't amount for me to a whole pile of crap.
I think it's great. The guy who's offering the book and the information, he's got some good stuff, and I think people should go in and fight their own tickets. I'm not asking you.
Now, what type of law do you practice? Are you a trial lawyer?
Law.
Huh? No, I'm not a trial lawyer.
Then what do you? Then you don't know what you're talking about anyway.
Oh no, that's not true either.
Well, are you a litigator?
Administrative level.
Administrative level.
All right. So, have you ever been in a courtroom?
Many times.
Many times. So you have done some trial work, some litigation?
Yes, I have.
Very good. Okay. Did you do it when you were clerking, or did you actually do it as an ATTY?
As a licensed attorney.
As a licensed attorney. All right.
Again, why are you trashing me just because I'm making a suggestion?
Because we don't like you.
We don't like lawyers, and we don't like the fact that you're calling in pissing on our parade.
No. This is a practical suggestion.
I'll tell you a practical suggestion. If you get a red light ticket, you go into court, and you say, I had an ambulance behind me.
And you know something? We, hating lawyers, we are certainly in the minority. Not like the rest of the country feels the same way.
You know what a good excuse for speeding is?
What's that?
You had a lawyer in front of you.
Oh!
No, we just like to yell at lawyers. It's fun for us, especially lawyers that have a slightly sanctimonious tone.
You do.
Well, I'm sanctimonious?
Yeah, slightly.
Has anyone ever told you that?
No, actually.
Well, with all the education and all the years of schooling and the great grades and passing the bar and everything, and you're not self-aware enough to know that people think you're just a tad sanctimonious?
Well, again, I mean, I'm just calling to add something constructive to what he was saying.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no need it from you.
Well, okay, that's cool, but...
The advice here is, listen, it's a freaking traffic ticket. If you got to lie to get out of it...
I also had some advice, Don.
Lie to get out of it.
Avoid lawyers at all costs.
Right. And at all costs being the really prohibitive words there.
Absolutely. Did you get the impression from this conversation that we don't like lawyers?
Yeah, I got no problem with that either. I think a lot of them are bums, but what does that have to do with the comments I make? I mean, you're not responding to my comments, you're just responding.
Well, maybe it's your tone.
Listen, if someone wants to lie about a ticket in court, what the hell? What the hell? In the big scheme of things, what the hell?
Aside from the fact that perjury will get him...
Come on, what the hell?
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't know whether it would be perjury, because I would have a distinct memory of really seeing that ambulance. If it was something... If I ever said that in court, I would have seen that ambulance, sir.
And who are you to dispute that?
That's right. And
Not anybody disputed. I'm not disputing anything you say. Again, just offering some constructive comments.
Please.
How's the guy's day going?
I'll tell you right now, it is fun to beat up on a lawyer. I think everybody can relate to that.
All right, you prick.
And someday you'll understand that. You're a young lawyer, aren't you?
I'd like to think so.
How old are you?
I'd rather not say that.
Oh, God, rather not say. Why? Because somebody's going to identify you by your age? 40s.
Have you ever lied?
In his 30s.
He's in his 30s.
I've lied.
Have you ever lied?
Of course I've lied.
Mm-hmm.
I've never lied under oath.
Never lied under oath?
Never have.
But you've lied under the oath of the man known as God.
Yeah, yeah.
The supreme power.
Dude, I'm not criticizing people for lying.
Hey, dude. when did our relationship become dude? At no point did I ever say you could refer to us as dude.
Dude Esquire.
Wasn't asking your permission.
You know, we hate lawyers so much, we even give the lawyers a hard time that work for us.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, they're dicks too.
All right. Well, you give people a hard time for a lot of reasons.
We're always right. We always have right on our side.
But you know, you must understand that really, I mean, you've had enough experience with the law to know that when you're talking about truth, I mean, no one on the face of God's earth plays faster and looser with the truth than attorneys.
But you see, there's a misunderstanding on your part.
No! Oh, no. And listen.
I'm right, buddy.
All I want to know is, what kind of shyster out there listens to the show, and here's a guy on the air giving tips on how to get us speeding tickets, and it's your friggin' responsibility to call up to say... I wouldn't advise people to lie because they're purging themselves. Who cares?
You got a couple of people in this room, sir, that understand that the American judicial system is just like Parcheesi.
We want people to get out of these tickets, if at all possible.
I mean, anybody that has ever had any experience in a courtroom, and any experience certainly talking to a lawyer about being in a courtroom, would know that you are playing Monopoly. You are not. It is not the truth. And then, every now and then, O.J. comes along, and you get to see a trial and have it play out, and you get to see everything. And then you really, really understand exactly what it's about.
Well, listen, don't get me wrong here. You're doing 110 miles an hour in a 55? Well, you deserve it. Well, Christ, you're going 40 in a 35 and you get nailed, or you get nailed by one of these goddamn red light cameras?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And don't pretend that you're on top of some mountain and, you know, and that right is on your side, because I know. I'm 42 years old.
I've never said anything about being right.
No, but I'm just saying the whole demeanor of, the truth, you're telling me about perjury. From this angle with your tone.
It's none of that. I'm not being sanctimonious. I'm not talking about
your tone is sanctimonious. Right.
It's your tone.
No,
it's your tone.
All I'm saying is this: if you go into court on a traffic ticket, which is relatively minor, there's various ways to get out of it. A lot of which he was talking about. Those are great. I'd love to see you get out of it, but. Don't compound it by lying.
Hold on a second. Now, just a second, okay? I have been in traffic court. I will tell you, I will share my personal experience when I was driving on Route 66, and I was driving over 75 miles an hour, which is, in this state, reckless, okay?
Right.
When you're 10 miles over the speed limit. When I went to traffic court, I was advised to get an attorney. I went into the attorney. You know what I dealt with? I didn't deal with, hey, you were wrong and you shouldn't do this. I was dealing with, hey, let's see who the Commonwealth's attorney is today.
Right.
Let's see who the judge is today.
Right.
Let's see what mood is. If he's doing this, he's going to knock it down to this. He's going to do this. It was a goddamn chess game.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the truth.
Right. And so why not let people get the upper hand? If it's a meaningless traffic ticket and you're not hurting anybody, go ahead. Like, you guys don't ever lie.
I'm not standing in judgment of anybody. I'm saying,
well, maybe you're calling in judgment of people.
No, it's not in judgment. That's,
oh, you're just offering your advice.
Yeah, because
for free.
Because if you commit perjury, you're talking about a felony. That's why.
Yeah, right. And what I'm telling you is that committing perjury is definitely a felony in the eyes of the law. But as far as the truth, if we're taking, let's take perjury out of it and let's take the truth out of it. Let's put the truth into it. What I'm saying is, you're talking about truth, and truth in a courtroom I'll tell you something right now. I've had a couple of experiences.
The two don't go hand in hand.
It doesn't.
You see, you're trying to convince me that you think I'm on a high horse or something.
Yes.
No, you're misunderstanding my whole point. I have no problem with people evading traffic tickets, and I'm not even talking about lying. I'm just saying if you go in and testify under oath to something you know not to be true, you're committing perjury.
Great. And you're doing that is the by-the-book thing that every lawyer would say.
Well, sure. But people do get convicted for perjury, you know. It's not like...
Of course they do. They get convicted of perjury if it can be proved that they lied.
Right.
Right.
So if you go into court and you say, I was getting out of the way of an ambulance and I can't prove it, then you get out of the ticket.
And we're not doing anything. I mean, I don't think this is immoral. What we're doing is the same kind of thing that happens in behind closed doors with attorneys talking to their clients all the time.
But I'm not talking about morality. Morality has nothing to do with
that. Yeah, of course, you're an attorney. The last thing you would ever talk about would be morality.
Right. I'm just talking about doing something that's not right, which is committing perjury.
But I'm saying, coming from you, it's funny to hear this, and when you're not talking about morality, because really, I mean, having the experience that I've had with things like this, I find the American judicial system to be, you know, absolutely amazing sometimes in its immorality.
So do I.
Okay,
well, great. Then we can agree.
You act as if I'm defending.
Then you should go out there and change the system instead of wasting your time calling stupid disc jockeys.
Well, why am I wasting my time if I'm adding something?
No, you're not adding anything.
Well, okay, that's what you say, but the point is...
You're not adding anything.
No, you're making
taking away from our anniversary show, you dick.
You're making yourself feel good by saying, hey, people don't go in and perjure themselves.
Nothing to do with me, man. People are listening to your program.
You know, like an attorney wouldn't be sitting there over a cocktail and say, you know, hey, listen, you know, if you go in there, you know, just say there was an ambulance in back of you. That's all we're doing. And then you call in almost like you have a guilty conscience for your profession to say, hey, I want to make sure people don't perjure themselves.
Nothing to do with a guilty conscience. I happen to agree there's lots of flaws in the judicial system.
But you're the one honest lawyer out there, huh?
No, I think there's lots of honest lawyers out there. I mean, yes.
Have you ever stretched the truth in a courtroom?
What you mean by stretching it? There's a difference between.
Okay, see, there's
the lawyer right there.
There's the answer.
Well, you did it.
That's simple. Because
something.
No. That's like, are you pregnant or are you not pregnant? If you stretch the truth, that's the same thing as lying.
Sure.
No. Look, there's a difference between testifying to something that's false and presenting a case.
But you're talking semantics.
I asked you a simple question. Have you ever bent the truth? You ever just, you know.
Yeah, play with it a little bit.
In testimony, no.
Oh, you are full of crap.
You're lying right now.
You would never, you know what? It's your job to never admit to that. You could never admit that. You would be disbarred.
Right, you'd be disbarred.
You'd be disbarred if you admit to that, but we know the truth, and anybody that knows anything about lawyers, God, anybody that watches television knows it.
Actually, you're not thinking about something. I rarely testify in court, so I wouldn't.
No, I'm talking about what you would tell your clients to do.
Oh, I would never tell my clients to outright lie.
Well, of course you wouldn't. You would in a manner of speaking, but you could never admit to it because you would be disbarred.
But you would tell them to bend the truth. You would tell them to shape the story.
Sure, of course, but that's not lying.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Bending the truth is lying.
Look, if we're talking about perjury, which is the issue here.
No, we're not. We're talking about morality, pal.
Oh, but you guys are, but I never was talking about morality.
We're not perjury, morality. You're talking about lying and not
counselor,
lying.
Counselor, you said we're talking.
No, we were
not talking about the same thing.
Well, that may be true, but I said from the start that I'm not passing judgment on anybody. I'm not talking about immoral issues.
All right, let's stop right now because we really are probably going to run out. How do you think we'd do? We'd be pretty good attorneys, wouldn't we?
Yeah, you guys would be...
I mean, look at this. We just kicked your ass.
Well, if you say so.
I do.
No, your objective was to give somebody crap.
As a matter of fact, we have a judge right here. Buzz, how did we do in that argument?
You won. There we go.
Listen, and my objective was not to give someone crap because I don't believe I solicited your telephone call.
Right, but when I made a call to offer... A constructive comment.
I don't think that attorneys offer anything.
Well, there you go. It's a purely ad hominem argument. You're criticizing me.
I tell you what.
I'll meet you in heaven, and we'll have
a nice cigar and a nice drink together in heaven when we compare which one of us has been better as far as lying goes.
And it is not. It is not an ad hominem argument. I was attacking your argument, sir. 100%.
No, you were not attacking my argument.
Your argument was full of holes.
No, my argument was absolutely.
Can I tell you something? You're an awful lawyer. Where did you go to law school?
What hole is there in my argument?
Where did you go to law school?
I tell you, billable hours right now. I mean, you're obviously not billing any hours for the company, right?
What, are you one of them guys that went to the Dominican Republic and got one of them fake
deals? Ron's right. He is billing somebody right now. Sure. Somebody's getting ripped off right now.
Which client are you charging for this call?
I'm not charging anybody. You guys just said my argument is full of holes.
Where did you go to law school?
No, we guys didn't. I did, sir.
Okay.
I wasn't making an argument. Answer my question. Listen, we got to do a break here.
It's a felony offense.
We have to do a break. Where did you go to law school?
Well, if you have to do a break, you have to do a break. But again,
give me your credentials. I don't know your name. Where did you go to law school?
That's immaterial.
Okay, where you?
Because
you know why? Because you went to a crappy one.
No, because it has nothing to do with whether I'm a lawyer.
I'll tell you, there's not a self-respecting lawyer in this country that would waste his time with a couple of disc jockeys for this long, unless he was really in trouble.
No, I'm just amused.
All right, now I'm going to ask you from the bottom of my heart to answer a question. Honestly.
Well, you won't answer one honestly, so why should I?
All right, so then
we've answered all of your questions honestly.
I was going to ask him how many times it took him to pass the bar.
One.
Liar.
What? Then tell me. Then answer me. Listen, you answer my question, and you can ask me anything. Where'd you go to law school?
I can ask you anything anyway, but you won't answer it.
I promise I'll answer.
No, I called. Excuse me.
He promises he'll answer it.
Well, that's
okay.
Worthwhile.
Okay. University of Richmond Law School.
That's the 13th grade.
No, actually, it's a good school.
Sure, it is.
Has one
please.
Of the highest.
Please, it's a borderline retard school.
Okay, so now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Why is it that the meaningful comment I made is somehow reduced to something less than meaningful simply because I happen to have a license to practice law?
Could you just ask me like a yes or no question? I asked you a simple question. Where'd you go to school? The answer to your question is because you're a douchebag.
You can't answer a question.
You're a douchebag. That's my answer because you're a douchebag.
And your argument is full of holes.
No, I didn't make an argument.
You did.
You're full of ass.
What was my argument?
You're a walking
full of ass.
I merely made a statement.
You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
Okay.
I pray for the person who has you in court.
You're an evil man.
God damn. I pray for that person. They better lie their ass off in court with you as their lawyer.
That's right. Hey, isn't there some ambulance going by you need to chase right now?
Have you been harmed? Do you think you might have cerebral palsy? Are you one of those guys? Are you one of them guys?
Have you enjoyed it, counselor?
No, not at all, actually. Like I said, I called not to lawyer.
Do you understand what our job is? Do you have any idea what our job is?
Yeah, your job is to trash people.
No.
Your job is to entertain.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, back up a second, though. The guy that you had on doing...
Oh, please. F you.
Dime.
F-U.
Serious.
F you. What a prick.
So strongly. You ruined our anniversary show.
But in this way, what better way to celebrate an anniversary?
Pompous prick, because it said on the screen, that one was a screen call where it said, he's pissed because we are telling people to perjure themselves, that somehow you and I are breaking the law by telling people that we had the guy on how to get out of speeding tickets. Okay. Thank you, right. Thank you, Attorney Nick. Nick, attorney at law.
Oh, God, that was fun.
We got to be doing a break,
yeah,
for God's sake.
We'll be right back.
A great anniversary show. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to have them just about all the time.
Yeah, me too.
But I found a way to get out of it.
How's that?
Tell me.
Committed perjury. All right, well, what can I say, everybody? While we're running late on time today, it is, however, the 16th anniversary of the Don and Mike Show. Let me see what we got here. We've got
Oh, some great jingles. Some jingles. Yeah. Enjoy these. Hold on a second. Wait, these are all out of order. Let's go to, here's a great jingle I had made a long time ago. Back when it was the PD of Wava. Mm. You remember this jingle, Mike?
All right. Oh, man. That's when you, didn't you, like, work with the jingle company to get those made? And
I had a...
Very powerful.
I had one for the general manager. I had a jingle made for the general manager.
Right.
Alan Goodman, for whenever he would come in.
Big Al Goodman,
I had one for, Charlie Broyhill used to be known as Billy Reed.
Right.
Billy the Man Slave. let me see. Hold on a second. Here you go. Here's something from when we first started working together. We worked at a station, a top 40 station, Wava. We were a morning zoo, and we used to argue with the PD all the time about playing 10 records an hour, 8 records an hour, 6 records an hour. And the station had this ridiculous promo that said, get ready for 60 minutes of nonstop music. So when we stopped playing music on our show, they made this promo.
Now, I'm not in my power hour.
And they didn't really like it.
No, they didn't like
it. It's our way of saying we're going to talk now.
I can't imagine. Then we left the station. Here's the promo they ran when we left.
We've lost the fact. Now we're a lean, mean music machine. Less talk, the most music. 105 WAVA.
Yeah, they lost the fat. That's what they said when we left. And I believe it was less than 6 months later, everyone was fired.
Let me see. Here's, what is this? Oh, they got a bunch of stuff from when we were on the TV news. Gas prices. Dynamite drive gas prices down. What the hell's up?
The idea was the brainchild of WAVA morning disc jockeys Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, who've been asking different gas stations every day to lower prices. Today, Crave and Amoco went all the way down to a quarter a gallon.
We got the radio station to get these guys to reduce their price to 50 cents for 1 hour, and then we, out of our own pocket, and this is no lie, we're paying an additional quarter to bring it down again. Us
25
too.
Cents on the gallon, that's what we're doing. So it's, why are you doing this? Because we're good guys, and it's great publicity.
we're such jag-offs.
We were.
Here we are.
I always hear that. And is it because it's running a little faster? Or do we just sound like this now?
Yeah, this is how we sound now.
All right.
So we stand outside and smoke during every breakdown. That's why we sound this way. Here's when we were the first DJs ever to broadcast to Moscow.
Sean Connery solved the crime.
Does Crocodile Dundee have the bite on Rambo?
Are Hall & Oates back in harmony again?
Does Tom Hanks have a big hit on his hands?
These stories and more when Entertainment Tonight calls on the Kremlin for Tuesday, May 31st, 1988.
Good morning, Moscow!
That was me, I believe.
Yeah, when we did the show to, at that time, the Soviet Union.
I don't know if we have time to play some of the real air checks. I got to leave.
I think this entertainment thing explains what we did, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. What is it, the whole just goddamn theme to Entertainment Tonight?
Hello again, everybody. I'm Mary Hart.
And I'm John Tesh.
In the spirit of glasnost, a couple of hot radio comrades are doing what they can to pierce the Iron Curtain. Washington DJs Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara of station WAVA broadcast live this morning to the Soviet Union.
Доброе утро, Москва.
The idea for the simulcast happened during the last summit meeting in the United States.
They had heard us when the last summit was here in Washington, and they must not understand a lot of English because they loved what we did.
Yeah. Anywhere you can make a buck,
do it.
The Russian audience certainly got a taste of American radio, including some old-fashioned capitalism.
If you'd like to buy some Don and Mike t-shirts, it's WAVA.
And some bad jokes.
The guy says, well, what's the bad news? Doctor says, you have 24 hours to live.
Oh, no.
The guy says, what's the very bad news? He says, I was supposed to call you yesterday.
Mighty impressive. Mighty impressive.
That's a tape.
Thank you, Rob.
What the hell is this?
Hi, Don. It's JJ. You remember me, the overnight guy?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The guy who keeps your chair warm till you get here?
Yeah.
That's the one. I just wanted to point out that last week was my one-year anniversary in Washington.
I don't want to hear dumb J.J.
J.R. Russ?
Yeah, who came in one day and told us that he had...
gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea.
And he was proud of himself.
Oh, dear.
Hey, I got gonorrhea.
What is this? This is... Oh, you remember George McFly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is his brief version of We Didn't Start the Fire, a song he... Billy Joel song he wrote about us.
WAVA playing more than 50 minutes of better music, everyone. They're flapping, toes are tapping, rapping about the Mo Show. And a ham on this FM. They're Don and Mike and, of course, Frank Drew. Every day on the morning zoo. Charlie, Alan, Goodman, Little Mac included, too. Low budget jeopardy, focus and celebrity. Never work, always play on WAVA.
Wow. Well, here you go. For a while, they had us do this thing with the new sound of Don and Mike.
Right?
Yeah, they hated it that we weren't playing any records.
They want the new sound.
So they said, you got to have the new sound of Don and Mike.
Listen to who's enjoying the new sound of Don and Mike on 105 WAVA.
Hi, this is Larry King.
This is D. Kelly.
Hi, this is Donnie Osmond.
Hi, this is Bob Denver, Gilligan.
This is Danny Bonaducci.
Hello, everyone. This is Maury Povich.
Hi, this is Calvin Safaro.
Hi, this is Cesar Romero. And I'm really enjoying the new sound of Don and Mike.
Oh. That is funny.
Wow. Okay, here's
my God.
That is this one. Oh, so
as Cesar Romero.
They used to get mad. It was a top 40 station. So one day we had a concert with the Letterman.
Right.
And this really pissed the station off. You know, the Letterman.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's just about as far away from top 40 as you could get.
So we got the station promo guy to make us a real commercial for it.
The Letterman.
Here it is.
WAVA says thank you for listening to the Morning Zoo. Tuesday morning, Don and Mike present an exclusive live outdoor listener appreciation concert by
the Letterman.
The Letterman.
The Letterman.
And we did. The Letterman really were there.
They were there.
Concert.
Live in concert.
It's the biggest listener appreciation blowout in WAVA history.
Okay.
That is, you know, I'm kind of enjoying this.
Wow.
More than I thought I would.
Hold on a second.
Have you gotten to the really embarrassing stuff yet?
Well, yeah. Here's the opening of our show one day. When we would open with a top 10 list.
Right.
Because David Letterman had top 10 lists.
And we thought it'd be funny.
We're dumb lemmings. This is where you were really laughing like a monkey, and we had a guy who was hitting the drum, and we had the horns going. And...
Come on and wake up. Come on and wake up now.
I'm starting to get embarrassed already.
You shake a leg and get up.
We think this is funny.
For you to raise your head.
Play Mr. Rogers.
Come on and wake up.
I already have 3 16-ounce cups of 7-Eleven coffee in me.
Oh, it's time. Come on and 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 wake up now.
I'm Mike Lewis from Channel 9, and the Morning Zoo with Don and Mike here.
Play a cheesy keyboard with a sample.
Live from the Godiva Room inside Central Flight Center in scenic Arlington, Vietnam, it's the Burning Sea!
There's the drum.
God damn.
Don Cherry. Today, it's Wednesday, hump day, and we welcome back for another
more of his wacky inventions.
That's bad.
Plus, the debut of our new feature, Big Ray's Legal Corner, starring the incomparable Raymond Burr. And finally, a call to a retired Florida man who offers $5 massages. Well, that's massages on the sidewalk. But enough of that tomfoolery. On with the hijinks. Let's bring out another certified masseuse. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan K. Rennie-Mare.
Thank you.
Listen to this noise.
Right. I'm also a certified OBGYN, ladies. Watch for the dynamite cat smear van in your neighborhood this summer. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much.
What a mess. We had number one ratings with this. 16 years ago.
How many people did you have in the studio just to hoot and holler?
We would have the overnight guy and the news guy and Diana and Frank.
Our traffic reporter.
And we would have like seven people.
And they'd just stand there and scream like mental faces?
They'd scream, yeah.
Wow.
Because it was a wacky morning zoo.
It was wacky.
Hey, Daddy.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. A round of applause for my very good friend.
Hey.
Going to try to tell me that hockey really is a major league sport?
Daddy.
After they have to stop one of the championship games because they don't have any power? Mr. Mike O'Mara!
Okay, it was a power failure, okay? It was a little tiny power failure. And I wasn't there.
I know you were with me.
Honey,
it's 608 at WAVA. And here are the top 10 most perverted game show hosts. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, okay.
Enough.
That's enough.
That's painful to listen to.
That's enough. The only other tape, I did like playing the tape of the time that Bart really went nuts.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful.
I don't know how old he was. Maybe he's a year old. I don't know, something like that. It was back when Frieda would be on the show, and Bart would come on and just say, "Hi, my daddy." That's all he would say.
Right.
He was having a tantrum one day.
We have this. This is the original.
Yeah, I know that this is it. I don't think we have that tape anymore.
What is this one?
I don't know. I think it's.
Oh, is this just Bart doing the weather?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Rob. Try to find the one where he screams like the Exorcist baby.
You know what? We don't have the cart anymore, and I don't think any of us have a copy of the Morning Zoo Family album anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, that was. He's in the background.
Hi,
guy,
how are you?
Hi.
Okay, got the weather?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Today is going to be sunny, and the high is going to be 54, and the low is going to be 45.
Bart.
And tomorrow is going to be sunny. Today is going to be sunny, and tomorrow is going to be sunny, and it's going to be windy, so hold on to your hat, it's going to be 52,
yeah.
Now it's 42, but the weatherman on WACA.
Yeah!
Boy, I think you're talking all goofy again today.
I don't know.
Don't know.
He's just being goofy.
All right, goofy boy. So what are you going to do today? Bart?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
What are you going to do today?
We don't know. We might shop.
Might shop. Oh.
Hey, something's never changed,
Dad,
right?
Yeah.
You know, Pay? Well, we saw these little itsy-bitsy radios there.
Oh, at a store you and Mommy went to yesterday?
A Pay.
Pace, yeah. Well, I was shopping yesterday.
Yeah, Mommy does a lot of shopping, huh?
Yeah. Okay, we got to go. We got to go, big guy.
Okay.
Okay.
I can have
the
mom.
Oh, I already had the pleasure.
Bye, guys.
I think this is the one he melts down.
Okay, tell Mama that I...
No, you've heard it already.
Tell Mommy I love her.
What?
Tell Mommy that I love her.
Daddy loves you.
Oh, yeah, he's up.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Sadly, that tape is MIA. If anyone would like to loan us a copy of the family album, that tape from, what,
it's
58?
It's this where Bart is... He's like a year and a half old, and he is screaming to talk to me.
Right,
scary.
And Frieda is on the line, and Bart is in the background. I mean, like, the worst, blood-curdling scream.
Hysterically funny.
You've ever heard before. Well, what can I say? Oh, brother.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, right. What is this? Boomer loses her audio? Kim Anderson? Is that what this is?
I love it!
You know, as for me, there's no better way to start a morning show than by ruining somebody's career.
I thought it was too late.
Kim, I think you agree with me, won't you?
Well, I don't know. I lost all sound, so I'm just going to go into the traffic.
All right, I think we need the wake-up for Kim.
The official. Kim.
Headed inbound to 70 in Montgomery County. Some building at 118 headed down to 124. The outer loop is open from Prince George's County to Montgomery County. No delays to report there yet for you. The Cabin John Bridge also open both directions. Traffic is light to moderate. No backups there.
And you hear what we're doing? What we're doing is we're playing like our wacky duck sound effects.
Yeah. Her name was Kim Boomer Anderson, but around the station, we called her Nick.
She was dumb. Yeah. She, I swear to God, was dumb.
Absolutely.
She was an idiot.
Oh, it's the same thing. I don't want to hear it.
You know, what's always great on an anniversary show is to watch you just spiral into this depression.
I mean, I got a whole CD here full of stuff, and it's just, I can't. I know we got a break. I can't bring myself to play it. I really can't. I'll just give you one last...
Maybe next year.
One last thing, Mike. You might remember a TV show we had.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
You might remember this, Mike.
I might remember the biggest embarrassment of my and your career. Big into intros.
This is what we come on Channel 9 and play videos.
In fairness to us, they wanted as much of this as they could get.
We didn't say no.
No, we didn't. It was on TV.
I'm Donald T. Geronimo.
And I'm Mike O'Mara.
And we are fat.
We are white.
We are Catholic.
And we are
sick about it. And the very special first guest star, ladies and gentlemen, Emmanuel Lewis.
We have a round of applause for him, please.
Okay.
That's good. That's all?
That's all the time we have, Mike.
Wow. Thank you.
You know, we have a lot more tapes. We just we got the argument with the lawyer today.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have time. What a shame that is. Happy anniversary, Don.
We'll play them next year. Yeah. Same to you. And thanks to Mark Stein, some useless tool who actually taped all of our old shows and sent us a lot of that stuff. Let's get to Buzz now. Thank God.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
He made it up. Ugh, brother. I know a lot of you people listening just think the show, just as it is today, just blows dead bare. But you should have listened 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
We sound a lot more tired.
What, now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the show is tired, the material's tired. I'm talking just we're physically tired.
Physically worn out. Yeah.
Buzz, what is your lead story today?
Today, a lawmaker's plan to fight traffic cameras.
Oh, really? Oh, see, that's timely as today's show.
How about that?
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
We should just tell the stations along the line now that we're just going to run incredibly over today.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we can make this baby up. That whole thing. That was very...
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah. Not professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, another commercial-free Monday quiz. Every Monday, WAVA locks away the commercials and replaces them with extra... Rick Learjet Leary.
Test of the emergency broadcast system.
Learjet. They replace the commercials with extra music. On commercial-free Monday, WAVA doesn't play any...
Live with me.
No. Sandy, on commercial-free Monday, WAVA doesn't play any commercials. And finally, what radio station does Charlie Stuang Stavelak listen to on commercial-free Monday?
105 WAVA. 105 WAVA.
Hit the buzzer, Charlie.
105 WAVA.
Very good, Charlie.
Commercial-free Monday. Another way we're better than ever.
Oh, yeah.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Sure.
It's where the chicken contributes and the pig makes a commitment. The Don and Mike Show.
And Charlie was in his 40s back then.
This is the Simply Wireless location today to get your Mercedes-Benz key. Big Ben Show next Friday in the Fair Oaks Mall. We found it. It's at the kiosk at the lower level by Sears. And now, once again, with a slightly abbreviated news and comment, here is Guy Birdley. Hi, Guy. Oh, hold on a second.
Is stuffed in?
Got a guy who thinks he got Bart's rave out on the tape.
Oh, that'd be great.
I mean, it is our anniversary show.
Sure.
Hello, is it listenable, John?
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you? Greetings from rainy Seattle, Washington.
How would you have the tape of Bart's rave-out if you're in Seattle?
Well, I went to school at Alexandria, Virginia, graduated in high school back in 81, used to listen to you all on my way to school every single day.
And you have the rave-out?
And I've got the family album.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, well, play it. Let's hear how the quality is on this thing.
Stand by.
Okay.
105 WEBA. Bart! Hey, Bart. Hi, Bart. He picked up the phone by himself, and I've been talking with him now. It rang four times, and he picked it up, and I've been now on the phone with him during that entire song, trying to find out if she's there. I need to talk to her. Bart, is your mommy there?
Yes.
Can you tell mommy that daddy's on the phone?
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, tell mommy that daddy's on the phone.
My phone.
Frustrating situation, isn't it?
Would you go upstairs and tell mommy that daddy's on the phone?
My mommy.
Yeah.
That's a kiss from mama.
Bart?
Bart's just downstairs on the extension.
Are you watching your Mickey Mouse movie? Bart? Hello, Bart. Are you watching your Mickey Mouse movie?
No, my daddy.
Hello, Bart.
Hello.
Are you watching Mickey Mouse?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I talk to mommy, please? Can I talk to mommy?
The kid's in control right now. I kind of dig this.
My mommy?
Yeah, your mommy.
Hi, my mommy.
No, I'm not mommy's on the phone.
Hi, mommy.
Is mommy in the kitchen? Is mommy upstairs in the kitchen? Bart?
Look, little cop there.
Bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye.
That wasn't the rave-out tape, though.
Okay, hang up the phone.
There, good boy. Got a slight problem at home. What's going on?
Bart, where's Steve to go to the grocery store with Mommy until he talks to Daddy on the radio?
Well, you can understand that. Music Power 105, hello.
Hello, Dad.
Hi. Okay, you're on the radio now.
I want to go on there.
Oh, you want to be at the radio station?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. You got to go to the grocery store with Mommy. What? Bart?
I think he wanted to come to the radio as a
Mommy.
Oh, you think, you know, hi, Bart, get him out of this?
No, no. Hey, Bart?
What is all this?
Daddy will see you when I get home today, okay?
Looks like a cat.
Hey, watch it. Oh, my God. Bart. Bart, Daddy's going to hang up if you're not a big boy. Bart?
Sorry, Daddy. We'll work out this problem and talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I'm being attacked. Okay, wait.
Bart. Bart, hey, you. Bart, don't you scream at Mommy.
Sounds like a little trouble over there today.
Hopefully that's what you all wanted.
That still holds up.
Yeah.
That still holds up. That was a funny morning.
I have to tell you that my son is that exact same age, and I had that conversation not too long ago.
Oh, that's great.
He just gets to the one point where he just does the...
Yeah, it didn't translate as well over the phone as it would with the regular tape, but you can hear a little bit.
Yeah. All right, hey, hold on. We need a copy of that.
No problem at all.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
All the way from Seattle that came.
Wow.
Oh, Buzz, that was some great news.
Glad you enjoyed it.
We'll get some more right after this. Okay, Buzz, it's our anniversary.
I know, happy anniversary.
Cut us some slack. I guess we should have.
Absolutely.
We should have started this big J.O. session about 3 hours ago.
Well, thank a lawyer. A lawyer will screw up anything.
Right. Absolutely. Listen, call 100 time, 877-365-3636. D.C. 202-432-1067. New York, 877-692-1027. I'll tell you that we are giving away... Call 100, second row seats for WWF SmackDown, okay? So dial recklessly. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Yeah.
They only play commercials when they get bored.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Here it is. The lawmaker I told you about earlier, the powerful lawmaker Dick Armey, says he won't give up his fight against traffic cameras in D.C. He wants to cut a dollar of federal funding for every dollar the city gets in fines from those cameras. The Taliban says it'll surrender its last stronghold in Afghanistan tomorrow, but will it? The number of surgical mistakes is up. There were almost as many last month in all of last year as there were. Paula Poundstone is now out of rehab. Elton John says he will record again and says he was just in a bad mood that day.
Told you.
Still no word on whether Michael Jordan will play tonight. And finally, is it still an armed robbery if the robber's armed with feces?
Yes.
Dateline Singapore, an elderly messenger was entering a bank to deliver $30,000 when he felt a push from behind. The next thing he knew, his pants were covered with feces. A couple of seemingly...
Oh, dear.
A couple of seemingly nice men offered to help and started using tissues to wipe off the feces.
Ew.
That's when they grabbed the money. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. Happy 16th anniversary.
Right back at you, Don. It's been a great 16 years.
I would say out of all the various cast and crews we've had, this is our favorite one we got right now.
We're having a great time, and that's terrific after 16 years to have these kind of good people around us.
Thank you all for listening. Back tomorrow with a new episode. Sorry we effed up the time so bad today, but, you know. Mike said, blame it on the lawyer.
Right, damn right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right, my friend. What's your name?
Jim.
Jim, where are you from?
Vegas.
Jim, I can't give you the WWF tickets because you're from Vegas. Let me give you the WWF Vengeance Prize Pack, okay?
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy it in your home pay-per-view this weekend from Comcast and Fox Cable. Hold on just a second. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oops, hung up on that guy.
Don and Mike, hello.
I'm caller 100.
Yeah, what's your name?
Chris.
Where are you from?
Silver Springs.
Beautiful. You want a pair of second row seats to see the WWF SmackDown live at MCI Center. Thursday, January 3rd, The Rock, Stone Cold, The Undertaker, and many more. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 12 noon at all Ticketmaster locations. Enjoy your second row seats.
Rocket.
But wait, there's more.
Sorry.
You also won the WWF Vengeance ringside chair.
Courtesy of Comcast and Cox Cable. WWF Vengeance in Demand Sunday at 8 p.m. We love the WWF. Tomorrow on the show, Chris Stratus.
All right.
WWFer. Also tomorrow, the brand new Jeff Pardee. Tomorrow, the Newsmaker of the Week. Tomorrow, Chris Collins. We're talking about what a pussy Howie Long is. And Charlie Stossel and the Angry Mailman.
Yeah.
And that's it. We got to go. Thank you for all the great calls. Thank you for listening. And I promise some news tomorrow.
Very good.
Good day to you, sir.
Happy anniversary and good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And hey, buddy.
Yes, buddy.
Can you be kind?
Happy anniversary.
Throw your hat in the air, Rob, just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Yeah. Okay, he is one Siegfried and the other is Roy.
Hi.
We will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Can we meet again? This is Sammy Davis Show. You see you there. Be kind. Be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. So let me leave you swinging.